Work on them. Work on them to improve gay rights. Work on them to improve women's rights. Work on them to respect science. But at the same time, I think that where we can agree with them, I have no problem with that. But it's been a very interesting debate. Thank you, Gene Shinai. Thank you, Susan and Will and Malin. That's it for the Inside Scoop. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Democratic Congress. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush could decide to claim executive privilege to prevent two more White House aides from testifying before Congress concerning the firings of several federal prosecutors. Tomorrow is the deadline for testimony from White House top political advisor Karl Rove. White House political aide J. Scott Jennings was also subpoenaed. Saudi Arabian leaders say they would eagerly welcome an international peace conference proposed by the U.S. for later this year. The conference is meant to revive peace talks stalled out for the last 6 years. Israel, the Palestinians, and moderate Arab states will all be included. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates arrived in the Middle East yesterday for a regional tour. The main Sunni Arab political bloc quit the new Iraqi government today, leaving behind the vice president and one cabinet member. White House spokesman Tony Snow says reconciliation efforts are being made and that the situation may not be as grave as it might look. A series of car bomb blasts rocked Baghdad today, killing at least 70 people. 100 were wounded. Three large bombs exploded in several crowded districts. The largest blast was that of a truck bomb, which exploded near a filling station west of the city. Also in eastern Baghdad today, an armor-piercing roadside bomb struck a military convoy, killing three U.S. soldiers and wounding six more. Fewer American troops were killed last month than at any time in the past 8 months. July was, however, the second deadliest month for Iraqi citizens. At least 2,024 were killed in sectarian violence. Afghan forces dropped leaflets over parts of southern Afghanistan in an attempt to alert its citizens of military action to free 21 South Korean hostages still being held by the Taliban. Russian diplomats say they'll hold a 10-day conference with the U.S. in Moscow to discuss a collective missile shield to be stationed in the Czech Republic and in Poland. Former U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says the family of Pat Tillman deserved the truth regarding his death by friendly fire in Afghanistan. Rumsfeld testified today about the Pentagon's role in the incident, denying any cover-up by the military in handling that investigation. Just ahead, we'll take a look at science and business news. Now this message.
What are you doing?
Fertilizing the lawn. Do you want to help?
No, not really. But didn't you just do that last week?
Yeah, I did. I want the lawn to be really lush and green this year.
Dad, what happens when those sprinklers come on?
We give the grass a good long drink.
That water runs off with the fertilizer in it and gets into the bay, where it can harm the fish.
So what should I do?
Use just the minimum recommended amount. The lawn will be just as green, and you'll be saving our ocean.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hello, I'm CHP Officer Felix Isararas. Law enforcement officers throughout the state are committed to removing drunk drivers from California roadways before they kill or injure themselves, or worse, an innocent victim. Right now, local law enforcement and the CHP are conducting DUI checkpoints to find drunk drivers and keep California roads safe.
Always designate a sober driver. And if you see a drunk driver on the road, call 911. A message from the Office of Traffic Safety and California Highway Patrol.
The J. Paul Getty Museum will return 40 art objects worth several million dollars to Italian authorities, who claim the artifacts were stolen. Today's deadline for their return prompted the agreement between the museum and Italian officials. Deep brain stimulation with the use of electrodes is being credited with the partial recovery of brain-injured patients. Results from a recently published research study in the science magazine Nature indicate possible long-term benefits from electrical pulses sent deep into affected areas of the brain. Authorities in the UK have fined British Airways $550 million for conspiring to fix fuel surcharges. Virgin Atlantic called authorities when British Air contacted them about the price-fixing deal. The U.S. Justice Department has also fined British Air $300 million in connection with the illegal scheme. Sirius Satellite Radio credited the addition of 500,000 new subscribers for a jump of nearly 50% in quarterly revenue. After GM and Ford reported quarterly profits yesterday, they announced today significant declines in U.S. car and truck sales. Lightsweet crude trading at $76.53 a barrel. That's down from today's record high of $78.21. Dow Jones Industrial up 150 points today at today's close of Wall Street. And there's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Okay! Don't you!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, here we are, and I think we've got a Jim Dandy little show lined up for you this evening. We try to have a Jim Dandy little show lined up for you every evening. Who am I kidding? But we're going to have a particularly enjoyable conversation here in about an hour. I assume that most of you by now have gone over and seen the video posted by Max Blumenthal and his videographer, Thomas Shoemaker, regarding their visit to the Christians United for Israel meeting. You know, the one where John Hagee stands up and calls for bloody, fiery death to be rained on pathetic, innocent Iranians, and Joe Lieberman stands up and compares Pastor Hagee, the multimillionaire who lives in the 5,000-square-foot Greek Revival mansion, to Moses. To Moses. Yeah. Yeah, because John Hagee, this fat, disgusting, ignorant, pussel-gutted fundy, is leading his people. But, you know, we're going to be doing all of that, and we scheduled it for this Wednesday because, well, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
That's right, it's Wednesday and it's prayer meeting, brothers and sistren. And since it's prayer meeting, get your sacred hanky prayer hankies out. And, I don't know, at some point we'll have to start mailing out prayer hankies, which I promise will not be drenched with the sweat of Bob or any of that other, you know, any of that mendacious garbage that the right-wing fundamentalists engage in. And, you know, sometime we'll do something like that. But for now, it's enough that you come down to the altar, and of course your altar is your computer subwoofer and your computer speakers. Lay your hands upon the subwoofer and the speakers and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through your broad body and bringing you relief from fundamentalist evil. What a wonderful conversation that was on Mark Levine's Radio Inside Scoop an hour ago. Our chief news ninja, Gene, initiated the idea for that program, and it certainly lit things up in the discussion of whether or not the Israelis are getting in bed with some bloodthirsty killers by taking the money of John Hagee and his fundamentalist weirdo flock. because, you know, they don't understand. You understand because you listen to this program and because, you know, you study things and you read things and you pay attention. You understand that every single one of those people at that Koofy conference, I'm not sure. I don't know how you pronounce it. But every single one of those people, including the apparently lost deadhead at the end of the Max Blumenthal Thomas Shoemaker movie, the one who's wearing the homemade dress and she's doing like the Grateful Deadhead dancing, like you know, she there's a rendition of China Cat Sunflower in her head that only she can hear. They are all looking forward to whenever somebody, anybody, somebody comes back and says, "I'm Jesus." See, this is the problem. This is the problem because there's no way of knowing who that returning Messiah will be. It could have been Gandhi. Sorry, they killed him. Could have been Dr. King. Sorry, they killed him. And that's the thing with Messiahs. Messiahs mostly get killed. Okay, so whenever somebody comes back and says, "No, it's me, I promise," see, you know, and they'll have some Steven Spielberg special effects and golden clouds and chair and Rolls Royces flying down to Earth like something, you know, I don't know, like the opening credits scene to that Heavy Metal, where the Corvette comes out of space. And once that happens, John Hagee and all of his followers are going to line up and say, "Find me a Jew to kill. Because now it's time to wipe out the Jews for Jesus." And they'll stand, and whoever the crazy dude is who says he's the returned Messiah, they'll say, "Confess he's Christ." And no Jew in his right mind, no Muslim in his right mind, no Hindu, no Christian in their right mind would go, "Okay, that's him." And then when you don't do it, they skewer you like gigging a frog in a pond. I'm not kidding. I got no reason to make this stuff up. Read their writings. If you go and you watch the video, you will see what causes Max Blumenthal and Thomas Shoemaker to be thrown out of the Queefy conference is when Max stands up and reads John Hagee's words right back to him, where he says that the persecution of the Jews and the Holocaust are all the Jews' fault for not believing in Jesus. And Hagee, that smarmy bastard, says, "That's from Deuteronomy, boy. Did you ever read Deuteronomy?" And Max Blumenthal says, "Why, yes, as a matter of fact, I did." "Well, it's straight from Deuteronomy." Well, you know what? You can listen to the quote that comes from John Hagee in that video, and you can go to try to find it in Deuteronomy, and guess what? It ain't there. It is not there at all. John Hagee's a liar. John Hagee's a snake. John Hagee is a false prophet. John Hagee is a person who is marching down that broad, broad path straight to hell and taking lots of pathetically ignorant authoritarian people with him. And it's just, for him, it's not sad. If you buy into the Bible stuff, he is going to the lake of fire that is prepared forever for the devil and his angels. Because that's the kind of person that John Hagee is. But the people that he is taking with him, tragic. Just tragic. So I'm looking forward to our conversation with Thomas Shoemaker at the top of the second hour. Now, let's do go to the phones. Our good friend David is calling from Tennessee, and we haven't heard from him in a long, long time. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Bob. How's things?
Oh, things is great. How about you? How's your things?
Oh, pretty darn nifty. I got a couple of topics, one in a minute or two, but I had one of these borderline epiphanies that hit me now and then. And I'll try to keep it short and reasonable and not well reasoned, but reasonable. We gotta set the guy's way back machine, back 40 years. I'm in college. It's the University of Tennessee. you know, it's the 66, 67 along in there, and we're thinking, you know, wow, we're enlightened and we're doing this, and we're looking forward, and we're trying to make sure that we act on the fact that our president has written and signed and implemented, or is beginning to implement, civil rights legislation, and we're trying to broaden our horizons, and we're trying to look around at either push back hard and maybe even shove, or certainly laugh at backward, you know, Luddites that just don't get it. And as an emblem of that, you and I both know that if you're in the South and you're at a football game and it's 2 o'clock in that time zone and kickoff is 4 minutes away, what's going to happen about that time, Bob, in addition to the national anthem?
Well, there's going to be some praying.
You got it. Well, Knoxville, Tennessee.
You can. I've been there. I got the ticket stub.
Knoxville, Tennessee, Neyland Stadium, Shields-Watkins Field, up on that high, steep bank that overlooks the Tennessee River. Since that town is dominated by the Southern Baptist clique, most of those games, 2 out of 3, there was going to be the first or the second or the somebody's Baptist church from somewhere was going to get up and, you know, do about 45 seconds, you know, on behalf of Gold.
Mm-hmm.
But based on the fact that it was the University of Tennessee and there were other things going on, and we felt like we had a world view, about every third home game, there would be somebody else. And it might be a priest from the Catholic Church. But I can remember in 66 and 67, in the stands for those games, we as a student body and we, or they as a faculty, said, look, you know, we're reaching out to the world for students. I've seen guys on that field with a microphone with that yarmulke and a prayer shawl lead a very ecumenical, no major words associated with anybody's religion, lead a prayer before a football game in 1967.
Okay.
There was a Hindu student center, not quite like the Episcopalian student center, or not quite like the Catholic student center, and damn sure not like the Baptist student center, but there was a Hindu student center. I actually saw a brown-skinned man with a turban stride to a microphone, and everybody was reverential, and you would see old guys on the rich side of the stadium, not the student side. You'd see them looking back and forth at each other, go, what's this about? But, well, it was what we were doing, because we were reaching out.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that based on the efforts of these quack religion industry bastards, sorry to lower the level so quickly.
That's okay. I pre-lowered it for your convenience.
Thank you. That couldn't happen now. We have regressed. We even, whether it's Tennessee or Auburn or Alabama, nobody that comes out there is going to be anybody but this hard right-wing religion establishment political activist. Oh, it is going to be the most disgusting display of Christianity, and it's their version. And I mean,
snake handlers minus the frozen water moccasins.
You got it. And it's a regression, and it's a falling back, and it's this business of anytime you ask a good thing, a reasonable thing, a proper thing, a functioning thing, to put itself on both sides of the street. When you marry music to business, you got problems. When you marry church to religion, I mean, when you marry church to politics, you've got problems. When you marry church to science, you've got problems. We laughed at kids in high school in 1962. That didn't want to sign on to evolution, and now you've got whole states saying we must teach it. And it's this incredible rolling back of progress that just makes me crazy. And if, again, you know, like the fella said in the interview, it's not who's in office, it's who's outside the office.
And let's remember, this is a virus that got its roots in the American psyche. You're a Southerner, I'm a Southerner. And we love a lot of things about the South, and there's a lot of other things that we hate. This virus began in the Deep South.
No question about it.
Yeah, whether it's Oral Roberts or James Robertson or Pat Robertson or God knows Jerry Falwell, this is a Southern phenomenon that spreads over the country. Like one of the most virulent diseases, political diseases, this country's ever suffered.
It started with a very small number of older, wealthier people saying, I know that what I think is about to die, as well it should, but I don't want it to. And the next thing you knew, they looked around and they were allied with the Republican Party, and here we go. And then it's forced fed around the nation. And each time they made a gain of some sort, they felt like it was an encouragement to do even more. Just the other day, I saw a wonderful documentary on this fellow named David Reardon. Does that name mean anything to you?
It should.
He creates all of the false science about the bad emotional outcomes of women that have abortions.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
he has a doctorate from Draw Doctorate on a Piece of Paper University.
Yeah, Draw Spunky School of Psychology. Right.
I'm sorry?
The Draw Spunky School of Psychology.
Exactly. And this guy, funded by these horrific religious industry outlets like Hagee, like all the rest, and the right-wing Republicans, to cause people to get up in arms about various issues in very small numbers. What, isn't it like 80% of America wants first trimester abortion safe, available, and damn near free?
Yeah.
Am I off on that?
No, you're pretty close. I'm not sure if it's 80, but it's darn near.
Yeah, all right. Let's say 70, and I'll give 10% for the sake of being more accurate. Oh, but no, this guy can get an audience on almost any television network.
Oh yeah, this is the goober who has, among other things, posited the theory that abortion causes breast cancer.
He's got a bunch of this stuff. The talking head is David Brancaccio. It's PBS. It's now. It was a week and a half ago. You can still stream it. It's a half an hour show. It's stunning, the implications that utterly false science, and it's all tied together. It's where religion and science are melded. You know, it's like the Planet of the Apes when they had the Minister of Truth and the Minister of Science were the same guy.
Yes.
It is the same
thing. Hallelujah, brother.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I wanted to remind us all how far we have fallen and what crap is being perpetuated. And millions of people are falling for it because there's not enough people that they know, that they live next door to, that are saying, hey, wait a second, hold on a minute here. You know what? The earth is warming. The evidence is there. For every one guy that says it isn't because he's funded by Exxon, there are 400 men and women that says it is, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know, you raise an interesting point there, David, and by way of an aside, but I promise I'll get back on the track. I had a lovely breakfast this morning with a couple of folks who are Horn listeners who were passing through West Virginia on their vacation, and we just had this beautiful, beautiful conversation. And there was at one point we were talking about the fact that on the left or on the normal side of the world we haven't figured out yet, and it's something I hammer on fairly frequently, we haven't figured out how to all stand together and say, okay, everybody's issues will get dealt with, but we move forward as one monolithic unit until we take power. Because the Republicans and the right wingers have done it. Because if you look at the Republican side of things, David, you've got, I mean, can you imagine the common, and this was the question I asked, where is the commonality of interest of a multi-billionaire banker hedge fund manager who is concerned primarily with tax and trade policy How in the world does he have anything in common at all with some right-wing Baptist fundamentalist minister who had to sweat his rear end off to get out of sixth grade? Okay, and whose main issue is abortion and putting the Ten Commandments in the Fedra Bidden and returning America to its basic Christian roots, and you know what I'm talking about. And you just turned the light on for me. I just realized where that commonality of interest is. And if I may, you talk about all these people going to these fundamentalist churches. They're looking for something. They're scared. They have had an education system that has been deliberately dumbed down by the uber rich of the right, who hate the idea of an educated populace because it's hard to lead an educated populace by the nose. So we replace it with fantasy land religion, and boom, there you have it. What you just described.
Fantasy land religion, and they've been told all of their lives by people like that, that if it doesn't turn up on Ozzie and Harriet or Leave It to Beaver or Mayberry, you should fear it and stamp it out.
Right, and also, by the way, your life here on Earth sucks because this is a vale of tears and suffering, and you're not supposed to enjoy this time here. It's like the late, great Joe Hill sang, live on hay day and day by day, you'll get pie in the sky when you die.
Oh, but that implied orgasm as you fly through the clouds on your rapture.
Exactly. The question is, who is to blame for this? Who's at fault?
You were asking the question, What is it they rally around? What is the point of commonality? The point of commonality is a figurehead that kisses the ass of the money man and drapes himself in the flag and the garments of this religion so that the money guy can say, fine, the chumps will fall for it. I can have my way while they continue to have these various non-issue issues on the end of a very long stick. And the chumps in the trenches will keep chasing the non-issues.
Yeah.
And it's equally funded by the money guy and the poor chump.
Yeah.
How many people put money into Fred God-awful Thompson, for God's sake?
Oh. I wish I had that soundbite I saw earlier today with Melanie Morgan. Talking about, you know, Fred Thompson's wife is, you know, she's going to be a real superstar first lady. Makes you want to scream, doesn't it? Uh-oh. I think we lost David.
No.
Okay. You went all silent on me.
I don't know what happened. Gee whiz. I was still yapping. Well, before that happens again, I want to congratulate all of those on the horn for doing a wonderful thing. I've thought long and hard about saying this, but I have to. I am lucky enough to have been on site for the undisclosed location in West Virginia. I'm lucky enough to have been on site as Bob sought to cut through the Gordian knot that still is, his father's estate in Alabama, trying to help a little bit. No merit badges required, none earned. I want everybody to know what a tremendous sacrifice and investment of all emotional and bodily functions these two people put into this. They start really, really early. They force their kids to be almost raising themselves for a few hours here and there, and these wonderful kids do a great job of that. And then the day goes late into the night, and you just, not enough of us. And I don't know, I wish I knew more. I wish I was doing more. But all of you good people that made sure that Bob is still around, Bob and Agnes, are really living up to earning their part of whatever commitment you made to them. So I don't want it to go any further because it'll really turn into a stump speech, but I thank Bob.
Oh, stump! Agnes. Stump, David, stump!
Nah, we'll just let it go with that.
Yeah,
that's real enough to suit me. Look, folks.
Well, thank you. That's
working their ass off, folks. So if you're pitching in with resource, you're not wasting it.
Thank you. thank you very, very much, because what you say is true. I mean, it starts here about 8 o'clock in the morning, and it ends at midnight. Do the math. That's a 16-hour day.
And I guarantee you there's no 5,000-square-foot Greek Revival mansion, and there aren't dozens of people running around. I guarantee you, like every one of us, the Kincaid household has plenty of months left when the money runs out. So they make hard choices beginning about the 25th, just like every single one of us.
Well, that's the truth, David. And you know, one of the things that makes me so proud of what goes on here is the effort that's poured out by so many people. Whether it's me or Agnes or Ben Birch, Joe Vecchio comes stumbling in from the third shift and struggles to maintain consciousness from 6 a.m. Till the time that he goes on, and we're talking about Central Time here, when he goes on at 10. I don't know how to put this, David, but do you think? And this is kind of, if you remember the Book of Job, this is kind of like that. Do you think that Rush Limbaugh would do what we're doing absent the $29 million he gets every year?
Rush Limbaugh wouldn't accept your circumstance for more money.
Yeah.
And we may have lost each other again.
No. We're doing fine.
I hate it.
No. What's going on? I think you've got phone problems on your end, because I'm not having...
My phone says I'm working, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, David, thank you for your kind words. Do take care.
I will keep talking, hoping something comes back.
Okay. So I'm...
I hear noise. Is that you, Bob?
Yeah, that's me. I've been here all along. Huh. But we better quit this, because it looks like we've got technical difficulties that are insurmountable at this point.
I don't know what's going on, but oh darn it. Signing off.
All right. Sorry about that, David. That's kind of weird. Of course, we've got some service changeovers taking place here that may be interfering. I don't know. We'll have new service, a new form of service installed, and that's a program note I meant to mention to you. We will have a new form of service installed as our part of our effort to reduce costs and actually improve quality. That changeover is due to take place Monday afternoon. So we hope that it will go flawlessly. But you and I both know that we dance on the cutting edge of technology, and sometimes we cut our feet dancing. I hope we will be here Monday evening. I hope Dr. Bill's show will be up. And I hope Peter will be able to bring you Peter Godbold on Monday. However, there's a possibility that there may be something go sideways in the whole process, so just be aware of that. What David said, it humbles me. Because I'm loath to sit here and have you think that maybe I'm climbing up on the cross or anything. I'm not. We do this because we love to do this. But I also recognize that there's not a lot of people who would, frankly. David, are you still there? I'm sorry for the.
Yes, I'm back. I'm back.
I'm sorry for the glitteration that we're suffering.
Could be me, but very quickly I will say no. The Rush Limbaughs of this world, that's not a question to even answer. If somebody doubled the salary of an Air America personality and asked them to do what you do, they wouldn't even take it on, and if they did, they wouldn't last the day. So I know that for a fact. A few others think they probably know it, so you should go ahead and embrace it, folks. And one of the ways, Bob, very frankly, one of the reasons you're able to attract all this legion of volunteers is they understand what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think,
so
I think you're right.
In the absence of leading by example, you wouldn't have guys signing up to hurt themselves the way they are.
Yeah, what a way to put it, too.
Okay, the love fest is over.
All right.
take a real call now.
A little cold water on the back of the neck.
There you go.
Coming next. All right, take care, David. Bye now.
Yeah.
Let me just throw something out there for you real quick, like, and that is this. I had a phone call yesterday. I get up, I come in here about 8 a.m. Eastern to start doing the prep that leads into the rest of the broadcast day. And I answered the phone, and a listener called and told me that he wanted to help make sure that the horn continues on, but that he just can't do business with PayPal because of their right-wing nature. And, you know, PayPal is a banking-type institution, so therefore I would expect them to be right-wings. I don't know many. I don't know of many left-wing banks, frankly. But at any rate, for those of you who don't like, for either moral, philosophical, or other reasons, to deal with PayPal, and, you know, it's we go through PayPal because PayPal is pretty much the industry standard, and I don't know of another money transferring institution or organization. And I also don't want to clutter up the website with 19 different buttons, because that becomes counterproductive at some point or another. But if you would prefer to do, like, you know, a postal money order or something like that, and send it via snail mail, that's cool too. Let me throw the address out there for you again. It's Head On, 1038 North Eisenhower, just like the president, Eisenhower Drive, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. And as I mentioned the other night, that now this is the first day of August. So, I can tell you that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you guys made it possible for the horn to continue to the end of August. And with any luck at all, you will continue to do so, so that we can guarantee September. And all I can do is thank you, and say that I, you know, when you choose to make sure that the horn continues bringing you the programming that matters to you, it's a vote of confidence in us, and it is also a profoundly humbling experience. And we will continue to bust our little rear ends to make certain that this is there for you. It's all I can say. But you know what we go through. The phone box that got wiped out by the fine folks who can't guard against lightning at Verizon. It is what it is. Another thing, in the next few days when we change over the service, you're going to, and please, if you feel the need to complain, go ahead. I accept complaints via email or telephone or whatever, but there will be a little audio commercial that will run at the front end of the stream when you log on to listen to the program. And there will be a banner ad for the organization that we're dealing with to provide us our new service, and the name of the company is CityNet, CityNet. And I hope you will you'll click and see if there's some way that you can do business with CityNet, because they're giving us they're trading us out some rate for advertising. They are helping us to stay on the air, in other words. They're really, really good people too. It's rock solid folks, good technology, and extremely reasonable rates. So you'll start seeing that on the website, on the main banner at the top of the page, and you will see a CityNet banner in the pop-up players, and you will hear a CityNet commercial when you log on to the stream. And we are sincerely proud to be partnered with them to make it possible. It's going to enable some changes and some growth here that we're looking forward to a great deal. One of which is down the road, changing the stream to make sure that if you want it, you can have an ultra high bandwidth stereo digital quality stream. You know, 128 kbps stereo. That is coming in the future. And I hope you find that as enjoyable as we think the idea will be. So that's just that. It's about 20 minutes before the hour, and I want to before we have our conversation at the top of the hour with Thomas Shoemaker, I want to bring a story to your attention. I first heard about this during Peter Godbold's show last night, and he touched on it. But this is prayer meeting, and I'm not going to leave one of these hanging up above the rim without jumping up and doing the Dr. J slam dunk home. The dateline is Johnson City, Tennessee, which is in basically the upper northeast corner of the great state of Tennessee. And it has to do with a 58-year-old Baptist minister named Tommy Tester, or Tommy Teaster. Probably Tommy Teaster, I'm betting. He's from Bristol, Virginia, and he is the pastor of the Gospel Temple Baptist Church. And he was at a car wash. And he was apparently intoxicated. And he, as one might say, whipped it out and took a whiz in front of a bunch of children. He was arrested. At the time he was arrested, he offered to perform oral sex on the arresting police officers. Oh, but this is such a Ginsu commercial. But wait, there's more. The Right Reverend Tommy Tista was in a skirt. Now there is no there's no photograph and there's no further documentation. I don't know if he was in skirt, blouse, heels, hose. Him being a man of God and all, I'm just imagining he was probably going for the Catholic schoolgirl look, with the little plaid skirt and the knee socks. But yeah, once again, another member of the right-wing religious community. Well, you can't really say he was caught with his pants down because he didn't have any pants at all now, did he? No, he didn't. And so he enters the Hall of Shame with the guy that, from a couple of weeks ago, that was offering to perform oral sex on some undercover officers in Florida, and the vile right wing preacher in North Carolina from a week and a half ago, Ted Haggard, Jimmy Swaggart. It goes on and on and on. Now, of course, I will not sit here and say that I know something that I do not know, and I will not lie to you, but I would be willing to wager, as it were, that the Right Reverend Tommy Tista of the Gospel Temple Baptist Church of Bristol, Virginia, has mounted his pulpit, has mounted his pulpit on numerous occasions to talk about the moral decay of America and the sinfulness of the American people. Because, you know, that's what right-wing fundamentalists do. And I'm sure being a Baptist minister, he's talking about the whole that glory day when I look to the clouds and I see Jesus coming back in all his glory. Every single thing that we point to as a piece of evidence of the sleazy, slimy, snake oil salesman nature of the right wing religion industry, at some time or another, I am sure that Reverend Tista has engaged in. And I have from time to time tried to point out, and I think you probably agree, and we need, and we really, really do need to get this message to the rest of America. This isn't necessarily a Christianity problem. This is a fundamentalism problem. Now, here is Reverend Teaster out at the car wash in Johnson City, Tennessee, in a little short skirt, hiking it up to take a pee in front of some children because he's too liquored up to know better. I mean, you know, he's really going for the perfect storm of right-wing religion industry hypocrisy. This is maybe something like that the dear leader would refer to as a trifecta. And he does all this. He gets arrested. He then propositions and offers to, never mind. Well, you know what he offered to do. He offered to do for these police officers what Monica did for Bill. And so we say, yeah, oh, wow, that's pretty creepy. That's really, really hypocritical. That's, compare then, because again, I'm not necessarily, I don't believe these people are Christians in the first place. You know, these are Baptists. And as such, what, Agnes?
I don't think it matters that they're Baptists.
Well, no, they're fundamentalists. They're not Christians, okay?
They're
not Christians, Agnes. They've got more fascination with the Old Testament than with the New, among other things. But anyway. I want you to compare this guy with the imam at the Red Mosque in Pakistan a couple of weeks ago. Now, they were a bunch of fundamentalists, too, and they were trying to impose their particularly virulent, hateful vision of what Islamic law should be. They want to impose it on all of Pakistan. Because, again, yeah, if you could understand the language, you would hear the same sermon delivered from the pulpit by the imam, or comments. They don't do sermons so much, but you would hear the same comments delivered from his pulpit as you probably would have heard from Reverend Teaster's. There would be commentary about the moral decay of civilization, about the decadence of the secular world, about the sinful nature of man, and God knows, women, and a call for a return to our fundamental basic values and the rules laid out for us by Almighty God. I mention that to you because that same imam who was delivering those speeches at the Red Mosque in Pakistan was caught trying to sneak out of the hell and damnation that he had caused, and the gunfire and the bombs bursting in air and the rockets' red glare and all that crap. He was trying to sneak out of that in a burqa, a women's garment, and a stunning pair of pumps. I'm not kidding. I'm not, and you know, it's easy to go, really? No, kidding, no, you're joshing me. No joke. And it is easy to do that, but frankly, if we put a little bit more skull sweat into it, we see how pathetic and sad it is. These are people who are not free to be themselves. These are people who have to hide behind veils of self-hate and self-loathing and hypocrisy, who get themselves into chemical dependence problems because they can't stand to live inside their own skin. You know, for my part, you know, because I'm a liberal, I'm a progressive, if Reverend Teaster wants to wear a skirt, let Reverend Teaster wear a skirt. I'm quite good at minding my own damn business, and it means little to me what clothing a person wears. I'm much more concerned with the quality of their mind and their ideas. And frankly, you know, if that idea is coming from a guy in a skirt, if the idea is good, the skirt doesn't make the idea bad. But, you know, there's nothing funnier, there's nothing more comical than a man in a dress. Har, har, har. From Tootsie to Tom Hanks, the TV series that he did with Peter Scolari, where they masqueraded as women. You know, that's for some reason that's high comedy. And of course, you had Will and Grace that was about if my gay friends tell me is correct, had about as much to do with the gay lifestyle, so to speak, as hogs have to do with Sunday suits? Har, har, har. Oh, it's funny, funny, funny. Look at that. Another right-wing preacher done caught with his panties in a wad. You could say. It's pitiful. It is pitiful that people in this country can't be themselves. Can't be comfortable in their own skins. Can't be the people that God made them. I mean, these are the people who believe in God, right? God made Reverend Teaster to want to wear a skirt. But because these people have nothing in common with God, they will most likely punish Reverend Teaster. Agnes, if you don't mind, fire up the magic telephone box, please. Give me a red button there. Back it off some. That's kind of hot. Dial the number, please. With me here.
Hello?
Is this the Gospel Temple Baptist Church?
I couldn't hear you.
Is this the Gospel Temple Baptist Church?
Yeah.
This is Bob Kincaid from the Head On Radio Network, America's Christian Voice. Is Reverend Teaster available?
No, he's not around.
Okay. How are you guys handling the revelations that came out in the news about his conduct?
I heard the door shut. Maybe he. Let me check on it.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, is this Reverend Teaster?
Yeah.
This is Bob Kincaid. I'm calling from the Head On Radio Network, the Head On with Bob Kincaid program. I was looking at the story about what you went through over the weekend, and just wanted to see if you wanted to offer your side of the story, because it seemed kind of one-sided.
Right.
Pardon?
Not right now. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very kindly, sir. We just believe that people ought to be free to be whoever they are, and if you want to share that with people, I hope you'll realize that you can talk to people who care here at the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, you take care, sir.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Can't say I didn't try. I feel, you can make jokes, and jokes are available, but he can't talk about it. He is 9 miles deep, mired up in a hateful cult, and he can't look at people and say, listen, I might not be able to, you know, I'm not the man you think I am. He can't do that. He can't talk about why he needs to be what he needs to be, because he's got a congregation around him who say things like, well, you got to go read Deuteronomy where it says a man shall not wear the raiment of a woman, even though everybody in that culture was wearing dresses. What a pathetic thing. It ain't funny, somehow or another. This is, it's just sad. I could have tried to turn that into a bit, you know. Hey, what kind of skirt are you wearing today, preacher? But that can't be what the horn is about. That cannot be what the horn is about, because at that level, at that point, I become no better than the right-wingers. you know, at some point, this will probably hit Jay Leno, and the whole audience will, ho, 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 ain't that funny? Jay Leno's talking about that preacher wearing a skirt and peeing in front of the cheerings. It disturbs me, okay? It disturbs me. This country disturbs me. I'm as guilty as anybody else of making fun of the foibles of others. And you know what? I'll continue to do that at some point in time. And on a sort of case-by-case basis. But, you know, I'd like to know what you think. If we talk about inclusion, if we talk about tolerance, if we talk about being better than the other side is, then do we live it when we look at them and make fun of them? And again, I will do that from time to time. I know I will. Because sometimes it's irresistible. Sometimes the people who are doing it are so manifestly and overtly evil that it's the only way you can shine a light on it. Ted Haggard marching up and down the stage talking about the evils of the various and sundry forms of sexuality, and it turns out, you know, he's a Kinkenstein. One of the number two head man of the Southern Baptist Convention in Oklahoma, day in and day out, talking about defending the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. And he gets caught in his highfalutin Mercedes sedan cruising one of the gay pickup areas in Oklahoma City, propositioning little boys for Jesus. Those are evil people. Evil people. So I don't know. Help me here. I don't know where you draw the line. I don't know how you differentiate between somebody who's evil and somebody who's tortured. Somebody who's every day is a living hell and anguish. Because they're forced by the circumstances around which they have chosen to live in a closet. And those people who are out there actively tormenting the people who have rejected the closet, who have rejected hypocrisy, who have chosen to live their own lives. And we're going to, and see, the thing is, the reason I started thinking about this with this particular case is that I realized when I saw this story coming out of Johnson City, Tennessee, we're going to have one or two of these every couple of weeks. It's going to become a landslide because the psychic weight of the hypocrisy on these people is going to collapse on them like the dark matter of a neutron star falling in upon itself. At the same time that the Right Reverend Dick Land of the Southern Baptist Convention declares that the presidency is Fred Thompson's for the taking. Fred Thompson, married to a pole dancer, the trophy wife, whatever, you know, she's a highfalutin Republican lawyer who understands we have to win the war in Iraq. I got the press release. At the same time that the Washington Post is writing articles about Hillary's cleavage and Fred Thompson's wife is walking around and, you know, one false move and we're all going to see something that, you know. At the same time that they're doing all of this, the psychic weight of their evil is going to bust them in the ass. And do we sit there and say, ha ha, and join the rest of the crowd throwing stones? Or do we enter into a legitimate discussion about why these tortured people have to live these tortured lives? Let's go ahead and go to the phones. We'll ditch the news. Kate is calling from Arizona. Hey, Kate.
Hey, this was supposed to be funny, but and then I'm supposed to feel guilty because this asshole is so pitiful. because he can't live the way he wants to live, like God made him. You've never lived in a closet, so I mean,
no,
I don't. No, wait. I don't know that you never lived in a closet. Ooh, I just made a big assumption. check it out. I just had this. Shut up. I just had this flare up. I mean, I was going along with you, and I'm thinking, yeah, we're making fun of George Bush because he's dyslexic and he's been raised by evil monsters, and we continually, day after day after day, make fun of somebody who's differently abled, who is in the White House. And then we do this to this guy in the car wash, and it was funny as hell last night. We had, y'all who weren't listening to Strictly Confidential, shame on you, we had a good time. So yeah, it works both ways. The guy,
it does, and I'm not trying to advocate one position or the other. I don't
I know
think you're not. I'm trying to process this.
Me too. And I just think that if the only redeeming quality, the only good thing that could come out of this event for him is that he understands what he has done to the queers in the country. Because I know what they do in Johnson City, Tennessee, about, you know, I mean, it's an abortion. I mean, anything that has to do with what
with a human being's right to choose how that human being is going to be.
I'm sorry, what?
Anything that has to do with a human being's right to choose how that human being wishes to be.
Yeah.
The right-wing religion industry is there to tell them, no, you can't, because we've got a Bible verse that was written down by people who were fascinated by wheelbarrows.
Due to friggin' art, right? Yeah, right. Whatever.
Yeah.
there are so many. Oh, Peter's going to do that Bible, those 10 things out of the Bible someday. I just wanted to just get off the phone before it hangs up on me again, like it did for David. I just wanted to say, if this man has learned anything about what it's like to live in a closet, to be discriminated against, to be hated and dragged behind pickups and hung on fences and vilified in all of society, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're wearing a dress or jeans, or whether you have a chainsaw or a perfect color-coordinated kitchen,
or a parasol.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yes.
And I just want to I would just pray to the goddess that he would learn something from this and he would get the hell out of his congregation.
I don't think he's going to have a problem with that last part. I think they're going to get the hell away from him.
He could find some place that would welcome him in a dress, and we would embrace him.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
He could be a happy camper.
Right on,
brother. Okay, I'm done, Raven.
Okay, thank you.
There's a cue. Thank you.
You're welcome, Kate. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for helping me.
Well, okay. I'll leave that there.
Well, no, seriously, because, it's the easy route, and I've done it a million times, is to make a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of occurred to me that, you know, I thought maybe, you know, there was maybe a million to one chance I'd get the guy on the line and he'd say, you know, yeah, let's do talk about this.
Right, right.
And but he can't. He can't.
No, just we just need to send him some love and light because the man's in a lot of pain. And it's just not funny laughing at people who are.
And if you, but if he turns around and gets into a pulpit somewhere and starts talking about the demon queers again.
Then the bastard can die in hell. On his way to hell, he can fry and blister.
Yeah.
And I hope his taffeta dress sticks to his skin.
As it melts.
And his patent leather shoes melt his toes together. You go, honey, and you don't mess with the queers, okay? Because we'll get your ass. I'm going to get out of here.
You better now, or Agent Fred will have your phone number written down before long.
FCC's after us now. I can't be found. I don't even know where I'm at. So later on, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye, Kate. Okay, That's a pretty clear statement of things. Well, and Agnes is going to try to get Thomas Shoemaker on the line. Again, if you haven't seen this video, you got to go see it. I saw it at Huffington Post. I think it was still in one of the bars down the side there. You could still click on it, but if it's not, all you
still there.
Yeah. Okay. So it's still there. You can go and you can view it. You might be able to find it on MySpace, too. I'm not entirely sure. But it's like, how can I put this? It's disturbing on about 19 different levels, and it has some of the quality of a National Geographic special when you were 9 years old, and you're looking at a culture that you just that is utterly alien to you, and that you couldn't imagine existed on the planet, but does. So on the line with us now is Thomas Shoemaker. Mr. Shoemaker, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I am so glad you would join us this evening to talk about your adventure, yours and Max's, filming this video at the Koofy meeting. Thank you, first of all, for being brave enough to do it, because you two were truly Daniel in the lion's den, if we're going to haul out our biblical analogies.
That's appropriate. Thanks for having me on.
It's a real pleasure. First of all, let's start with first things first. How did you and Max come to work together? Because you also were the videographer on the previous ones, or on the previous video where you visited the College Republican Convention.
That's right. I've known Max for several years. I actually got to know his family through a friendship that I had with his brother, who works at the Sunlight Foundation right now. And I've been an admirer of Max's previous work. And he previously did a video, Max Blumenthal, at the CPAC 2008. CPAC 2007. And that he did for The Nation, and that received a lot of acclaim. The videographer he worked with at that time went on to work for Obama's campaign. And Max knew I did freelance videography and editing, and he knew I shared many of his passions about politics, so he approached me to do these videos, which we did for the Huffington Post.
Okay. So did you just sit down and have a strategy session, and he said, look, I want to do this meeting, this meeting, and this meeting? How does one of these videos come to be?
Well, actually, the first video we did together was at the Take Back America conference. This video was to be shown to the entire conference, and then the leaders of the conference decided that it might be a bit risque, and they did not show it. That video was a somewhat different style, because the Take Back America conference, we wanted to be humorous. At the same time, it's hard to get those people to say anything quite so crazy as the two conferences we were just mentioning. But after that, we wanted to keep doing work together, and he's posted many things on the Huffington Post before. And he asked me about going to the annual meeting of the College Republicans and Koofy in the same week. And I worked it out with my schedule. I was able to do it. And we registered. I actually have a foreign press pass because I've done a lot of work for Italian TV. And we registered with my foreign press pass. He came up with the strategy of the questions he wanted to ask. We met several times in Brooklyn. We both are New Yorkers. And we went over how it would be shot, what kind of lenses we would want to use, what we were trying to get, what we wanted to ask. And then we went, and we basically stayed at the conferences as long as we could till we were kicked out.
And in both instances, you were?
In both, we were. In the first one, the College Republican Conference, Max was recognized by someone who had a booth there selling some of the bumper stickers that you saw in a brief shot.
Mm-hmm.
He recognized Max from his earlier work at the CPAC convention. And so when Max says he was identified as a quote-unquote liberal member of the liberal media, that's pretty much exactly what happened.
Did lights start flashing and bells ring and sirens go off? And liberal, warning.
Well, we were actually in line to speak to Tom DeLay. We had a couple of choice questions for him. And he had a book signing for his book, No Retreat, No Surrender. So we were in line, and Max was going to ask him a few questions. And while we were in line, we were approached by the person who we have subtitled as saying, you can't talk to Tom DeLay. And it kind of went on for quite a while. This isn't very clear in the video, but we were sequestered into a corner and then another corner when we didn't stay there for quite a long time, and they kept saying they would get the executive director to come talk to us, and they clearly had no intention of doing that. So finally we got a little fed up at standing around for no reason and with no explanation given, and that's when Max decided to do a little interpretive dance.
I remember that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they didn't quite know what to do with that.
But that's a theme. Come to think of that, Thomas, you've now got a two-video theme going of someone doing interpretive dance in each video.
Yeah, that's it's funny how the two videos kind of work very hand in hand in ways I never would have expected, because we do have interpretive dance in the second video.
I haven't seen any, like, what's in the second video? I haven't seen anything since I quit doing acid and going to Dead concerts.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of funny. It was kind of like a rave for militarily taking over the Middle East. That's the best way I could describe it. I mean, people were dancing in the aisles and going crazy and waving flags, but it was very scary because it's not only that they advocated a hardline military policy toward Iran, including a possible preemptive strike, it's that they were so excited about it.
Yeah, it was going to be... You get the idea that they think it's just going to be cool.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even if you do agree with such a stance, I think you could be a bit sober about it. There's nothing exciting, really, about bombing a country. But even if you agree that that's a proper course of action, the idea of being so happy about it really rubbed me the wrong way, and I think it was important to show.
Now, do you're working, as far as the format is concerned, do you have to work, or do you set out to work within a set period of time for these videos, Thomas? I mean, is it going to be 5 minutes or 7 minutes or whatever?
Well, we know it has to be 10 minutes or less, because although the Huffington Post had exclusive access to the videos for 24 hours, 24 hours later, we're able to post them on YouTube, and that makes it easier for the blog community to link and embed the video.
Mm-hmm.
And YouTube has a 10-minute, 100-megabyte limit on any videos. So we knew it wouldn't be longer than that, so we just told ourselves 5 to 10 minutes. And the second one, there was so much information in it that it's just a couple seconds under 10.
Well, and that's the reason I asked that, Thomas, is because I watched this thing, and I guess maybe it's just a little bit of how my brain works, but I can't help watching this and going, oh, holy cow, what wound up on the cutting room floor?
There's a lot, and there's a lot that it was very hard to cut, because for every crazy comment we have in there, there's probably 3 or 4 more, but we had to decide based on the sections, and we basically divided the second one into sections relating to why they were truly supporting Israel, and then how they actually felt about Muslim and Arab people. And the scary thing was, when they talked about Muslims or Arabs, they seemed to be talking about terrorists, and there wasn't much of a distinction drawn.
Well, with this crowd, the term is interchangeable, isn't it?
It seems like it was. I mean, there was that one woman who said, "What's behind the Muslim people is Satan."
And I got to tell you, Thomas, that's exactly what I'm thinking about right now. And I mean, cold chills ran down my spine, because that's the beginning of the dehumanization of an entire people. And you know, at a group that's supporting Israel, I would think that thinking that, how can I put this? That's the front end of genocide.
It is. I certainly think if that word was mentioned to these people, they aren't thinking of it in those terms. But at the same time, it does bring up those connotations. When the one man who wrote the book, Ezekiel's Dry Bones Live Again,
oh,
he mentioned he's looking forward, when we asked him if he was looking forward to the rapture, he said he was. And he also said he's looking forward to the cleansing of the earth. The cleansing of the earth, when it comes to the rapture, is all the people who already are believers are raptured away. And then there's a final battle between good and evil, where some people convert, and the ones who don't are killed, and then they are sent to hell, basically to be tortured forever. And when you hear a phrase like the cleansing of the earth, it sounds to me a little bit like the final solution.
Yeah, it does. Or, well, the ethnic cleansing?
Yeah, our ethnic cleansing.
Sure. So how do you respond to somebody who says, well, you know, you had the ability to edit this out, and you edited this in such a way as to create an impression of these people along the lines of your preconceived notions. How do you respond to something like that, Thomas?
Well, that's a very fair question, and it's one we've gotten a lot. And how I respond to it, especially in terms of the Christians United for Israel video, is that this was a PR event. This was an event where we were trying to be convinced and coerced the entire time, especially by PR people from 5W Public Relations, who is the PR firm for CUPE. As a side note, they were just named the agency of record for Regent University. And we were being convinced and cajoled the whole time not to ask certain questions.
Don't ask about the end times.
Don't ask about the end times. Even though Israeli or Jewish dominance of the Middle East is a precondition, according to their belief system, for the end times. So it was very, very transparent that the real motives weren't exactly the motives they were telling us. And although we had to do research and discover this beforehand, and that obviously means we were bringing a set of ideas to the event, it also is important sometimes in a journalistic endeavor to do that research beforehand. If Pastor Hagee has a nonprofit group, it's good to look into that group, and then when we discover that, oh, he makes his own salary out of this nonprofit group, which is astronomical. These things, researched beforehand, obviously do give whoever is going in and asking the questions and rolling the tape a set of preconceived notions, and that in some way is inevitable. At the same time, though, one of the points of journalism and one of the reasons there's freedom of the press in the country is so it can be a buffer against power. It's supposed to be the fourth estate.
Yeah.
And in situations like this, when a group's motives are so transparent and so opposite of what they are actually claiming to be altruistic motives, I think it's responsible to do an expose piece, which is what the Koopy piece was.
Well, it certainly came across that way to me because, you know, you've got multiple angles. It's clear you're moving around with a camera. You don't have some sort of little plastic carnation in your lapel that's your secret camera, and you're trying to be something that you're not. A professional video camera is no small thing, and it's kind of hard to hide under a raincoat or something. People knew you were there to do journalism on the event, right?
Yeah, they did, and we were registered for the event. We had press passes. They did know that. What the problem was, they wanted us to do a PR piece along with them, besides discovering whatever truth there was to be had. And one of the things that ended up on the cutting room floor, actually, regrettably, but there was just no space for it in the pace of the piece, was when the PR people were talking to us, at one point Max Blumenthal said they were telling him not to ask certain questions. He goes, "Are you guys our mentors?" And they said, "Actually, yes, we are." And that was the viewpoint that they brought to it, that they could actually, I mean, PR people have their purpose, and they have every right to hire a PR agency and to have these people try to put out the message that they want put out. But we also have every right to believe that or not to. And in this case, it was very clear to both of us that this message and the reality did not jive at all.
This is it's extremely disturbing to watch, Thomas. But by the same token, I can't help but wonder if somebody like these PR flacks feel like they can be your mentors, because that's the kind of cooperation they get from the mainstream media.
Well, one thing that's interesting, when you mentioned the video camera, I do have a professional camera, but it's a mini DV camera, and it is a much smaller package than a camera that is usually used to shoot for TV. You know, if CNN has a camera there, they're more likely to have a Betacam SP,
right,
perhaps a Digi Betacam, and those are much bigger. There was no way anyone could miss the fact that I was filming and that we were working as journalists. But I don't think, and I think perhaps films like this will make PR agencies think about this more, but I don't think they're really quite prepared for the maneuverability that Max and I had. You know, most, especially with the Night to Honor Israel, which was the large event with all the flag waving.
Right.
Most of the time there was an area for the cameras, and they sort of had to be there because if they were anywhere else, they would have obstructed everyone's views. And these other, you know, journalists and their cameramen do not have the same maneuverability at all. And I don't think they were prepared to deal with that.
Well, speaking of that particular event, Thomas, there were some very disturbing images that came out of that, for me at least. One of which was the soldier who walks down the aisle, faces the Israeli soldier who is kneeling with the prayer shawl and the yarmulke. He then stands, and they salute each other.
Yeah.
Was that real? Were those real members of the Israeli and American armed forces?
I actually don't know that. I would doubt it. I assume, you know, it was a stage piece, and I assume that it was a total stage piece, and that they were actors. That is something I don't know. I don't know what the military regulations on that would be, but I imagine, at least within the U.S. Army, and I imagine within the Israeli Army too, there must be some kind of regulation about participating in political events, wearing the uniform. If there's not, I believe there certainly should be. I do believe they were actors, and it was scary. It was scary once again, not because military support of Israel is necessarily wrong. I mean, everyone has, the whole Israel issue is extremely complex, and I think there's a lot of blame to be laid on both sides. And the point of this video definitely was not to be anti-Israeli in any way.
No, no, no.
The point of the video was to show a large group of people who have ulterior motives and to expose them, because these are people who should really not be involved in politics. Or if they are, we should be very cautious about them. And it was a showpiece. And once again, it was a lot of people getting very, very excited about military activities, which, while I believe are sometimes necessary, should not be exciting. It's not a party. This is very serious.
Oh, but it's very obvious watching the video that it was a party.
It was a party, exactly, with dancing in the aisles and flag waving and fanfare and music.
And there's one woman who appears to be chanting in tongues. I mean, did you see that sort of stuff, the, you know, with the speaking in tongues and the, you know?
We did not see that. It does appear that way. She was actually singing a Israeli song that was composed after the 1967 war. If she appeared to be chanting in tongues, that might have been because it was edited for the image, mm-hmm. and it didn't necessarily quite match the music that was playing at that moment in the video.
So
they were not Pentecostal, as far as I could say.
But these people have gone deeply into trying to, in many ways, co-opt what? Israeli culture? Or Israeli cultural paradigms or icons? I mean, this is a fundamentalist Christian woman singing a ballad composed after the 1967 war?
Yeah, it is very strange. I basically think it's an interesting relationship where both groups are kind of using each other. Very hard-line right-wing Israelis, I think they understand, and are definitely clever enough to understand, that their support from a group, from an organization like Kufi, doesn't really have to do with Kufi's altruistic feelings towards Israelis or Jewish people. It has to do with the end times. But these hardline Israelis don't believe in the end times. And because they support an extremely hard military line in the Middle East and are skeptical of any kind of peace process, they will go ahead and accept that support. Whereas Kufi is supporting Israelis because of their belief in end times prophecy and because, you know, it is prophesied that Jewish control has to extend over a large swath of the Middle East, they will go ahead and support Israel, and they've decided to incorporate aspects of their culture as part of that support. And also, it's a very simple deal about they both view the Muslim people as a much greater enemy, or the Arab people as a greater enemy. So it's a very strange example of two groups kind of using each other.
And both in a very cynical fashion.
Now, I will draw a distinction here between all of the followers and the leaders. The followers that we talk to, which are the people who basically talk to us about the end times and weren't brushed up on their PR, they personally were extremely nice people most of the time. I mean, when they asked Max about his Jewish heritage, and then they asked him if he had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I think they were truly doing it from what they saw as out of altruism. So it's a funny dynamic. I am scared about these people being involved in politics because I believe they're so misguided.
Well, what about Joe? What about Joe Lieberman? I mean, he makes an appearance in your film, Thomas.
Yeah.
And compares Pastor Hagee to Moses?
Yeah, and compares the multitude to a greater multitude than that which Moses led to the Promised Land. That was, that struck me as incredibly presumptuous and inappropriate.
Well, it struck me as him having completely lost any touch with reality.
Well, he also calls Senator Santorum a hard worker for the American people. I mean, Santorum was the person who had a press conference about what was it, mustard gas shells?
Yes.
Were found in an abandoned bunker that were left over from the Iran-Iraq war. And he decided to tell everyone that these mustard gas shells were the WMDs we had been searching for in Iraq. the transparency and the manipulation of so many of these people is so extreme and so obvious to anyone who really follows these issues.
Well, you know, you guys were asking some end times questions, and that got you in, you know, real hot water with these people.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's a deeper question here too. You have footage of Israeli Ambassador Dor Gold,
yeah,
who says that every religion has its eschatology, but only Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is trying to accelerate the end times. That tells me that Ambassador Gold has not spent any real amount of serious time looking into the end times, the eschatology of the people that he's dealing with at Kufi, because one of the most terrifying things out of all of this, and, you know, I'm a recovering Southern Baptist, Thomas,
okay.
So, you know, I was dipped by the heel in this stuff at a very early age. One of the things that these fundamentalists will talk about when they get alone by themselves and they think nobody's watching or listening, they get really, really excited when they start talking about when Jesus comes back, all the Jews have to confess Christ and they get to put to the sword the ones who refuse.
Exactly.
And when you get to the discussion about putting the Jews to the sword, these people get really excited and hosanna, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I
do believe he knows about that. I mean, this is a very, you know, despite my feelings about perhaps certain beliefs of his, this is a very smart man we were talking to. And he knew the right thing to say. Once again, the whole interview is fascinating, and we had to move on in the piece. But he was brushed up on his PR, and the flock that came out, the people who were members of the congregation, weren't. It was a clever answer, because every religion does have eschatology. But the fact is, the organization that he was part of and that he was lending credence to simply by being there also definitely believe that they can move the end times forward. And that they all want it to happen. I mean, Tom DeLay at the beginning of the film says that he hopes the second coming of Christ will come tomorrow. Now, even if you believe it's going to come, what's the hurry? That's one thing I don't really understand. If you believe this, why do you want it to happen so soon? Is life on Earth that miserable that we need the apocalypse and the second coming?
But when the second coming comes, these people get to fly away in the clouds. And, you know, that one guy who said that, you know, about the bumper sticker, you know, warning, when the rapture comes, this vehicle will be unmanned.
Yeah.
You know, they honestly, and to sit down and think that you're having a rational conversation with somebody who believes this kind of stuff makes you, I don't know about you, but you walk away and you just, you know, oh, wow, I need to take my medicine now.
Go ahead.
No, they're going to bodily disappear, and bodies are going to come up out of graves, and bodies are going to come up out of the sea, and it's just going to be this reverse rainfall of corpses into the sky.
And they do believe that.
And so, you know, bless you both for not just sitting there and sort of getting goggle-eyed looking at these people, because they do. They're very nice, they're friendly, they seem caring. But yet behind this is some really bizarre, scary stuff. Now, you know, you mentioned this was a PR event, and obviously it was. And there's a segment in the film that shows people getting out their little checkbooks and writing their little checks to Kufi. Does Kufi give more than moral support to Israel? Were you able to ascertain any of that? Does money flow this way? I mean, is this money that goes to, you know, and who does it go to? Does it go to the Israeli government? Does it go to individual kibbutzes? Or is it just a way of raising a lot of money, and then once the money's been raised for Pastor Hagee's salary, they go over and give the Israelis a laurel and hardy handshake?
Well, one of the things Kufi spends money on certainly is expanding Kufi within the United States. You know, Pastor Hagee is a minister of a megachurch that holds several services, you know, any given Sunday, and packs the church with 5,000 plus people. But he also wants to expand Kufi to other evangelical churches all across America. So some of the funds certainly go there. A nice chunk of the funds certainly go to Pastor Hagee and his family. They can live a lavish lifestyle. Some of the funds do go to support advocacy groups for hardline military policies in Israel. Other than that, I don't have enough information on that to really comment on it effectively.
Well, this is all very disturbing, though, because, and I keep using that word, I'm not trying to be redundant, the whole thing just, you know, again, it just makes the little hairs stand up on the back of my neck watching it to see. I mean, there are legal issues here that are being flouted. You know, I assume that Kufi has 501c3 charitable organization status.
I do know they're registered as a nonprofit.
Yeah, well, that's that.
That's that. The thing is, Pastor Hagee, the statistic we gave you was from 2001, and that is the last time that his income has been made public. So he has a team of lawyers, and he's saying he has mentioned that he is ready for any audit, and he has nothing to hide. If he has nothing to hide, that begs the question of
why are you hiding it?
Why are you hiding it? Exactly. I don't think he's a trustworthy man.
And what are those numbers again? He lives in a 5,000 plus square foot Greek Revival mansion.
The Greek Revival mansion is 5,000 plus square feet, and then he also has an 8,000 acre ranch.
And he's, I mean, the numbers. How much is he?
I believe that's 800 acre ranch.
And how much is he worth? The last reporting period that we have data for.
I know he. Determined his own salary along with members of his family at $1.2 million in 2001. I don't know how much he's worth overall.
You know,
I think we can safely say it's quite a bit.
You know, and that's just a little bit, I think there's got to be some legal issues in there, because in the course and scope of trying to research how we would set up the structure of the Head On Radio Network, Thomas, I did a little bit of reading about charitable organizations, and one of the things I found out is that you can't set up a charitable organization where the incorporator is the... Excuse me, is the primary recipient of the funds. So there's got to be some real buck and wing dancing going on inside Kufi and inside Hagee's church.
I would imagine so. I mean, the important thing to remember, and I don't know enough about that to comment definitively yes or no,
sure.
But the important thing to remember is that if you actually believe that you know exactly God's plan, and you know how the end of the world is going to come about, and that you are actually working as an agent for God, as Pastor Hagee thinks, and as it often seems that our president thinks, then you can really do no wrong. And that's the really scary part of this. If you throw all doubt to the wind, and you think you actually know the God's or the universe's plan, and that you are agents of that plan, then the ends at that point completely justify the means. And that in itself is a very anti-democratic way to think and way to operate.
And it's not only anti-democratic, it is it's a way of thinking that history has shown time and again lead to, more often than not, tremendous bloodshed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is the way Ahmadinejad thinks, or it seems to be the way Ahmadinejad thinks, and that's why Ahmadinejad is dangerous, and that's why people are confused. What all the followers of Pastor Hagee can't see is that his ideology closely resembles Ahmadinejad's.
Yeah, if you sat Pastor Hagee down next to Ahmadinejad and put blindfolds on both of them so nobody knew who the other one was, and they started comparing notes about what they believed in and what they don't believe in, they would be fast friends by the time you took the blindfolds off.
It seems like it.
Islam frowns on gambling. Every time a gambling initiative comes up in a state, the fundamentalists are there to oppose the gambling. No drinking in Islam, no drinking in fundamentalism, no dancing, on and on and on. These people have a great deal in common, and yet they seem to be wedded in some sort of dance of death.
Yeah, they do seem to be. I mean, the scary thing about the world now is we seem to have this real turn to extremism within all the world's major religions, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. And, you know, that, especially with the global world, we have to back away from that. It's one thing to believe that everyone else that doesn't hold your belief system is going to be damned to eternal hell forever, which basically means eternal torture, which, no matter what a person's crimes are, seems disproportionate. It's one thing to think that if you don't live on a global scale. You know, if you thought that way and it's 1842, and you're in a small town in the Midwest, that doesn't matter as much. But now that the whole world is locked together, and we have to deal with other cultures that inevitably have extremely different viewpoints than our own, those ideas have to be abandoned in order for us to move forward. And the scary thing about it is, just at this point when they need to be abandoned, these ideas are getting that much more strong. and powerful.
So as you observe these things to, within your scope as the filmmakers, you and Max, does this motivate you to any particularized action, or are you taking a journalistic approach of we're merely outside observers?
It motivates me to show this more, because I think a lot of people, secular Americans, or a lot of religious Americans who just aren't religious in this extreme fundamentalist fashion, I don't think they know exactly how scary and how dangerous these beliefs are. Because once again, if you meet a person like this and you don't actually dig a little bit and get into what they think, they are nice people. They are probably good neighbors. And they do, of course, in America, have a right to believe anything that they want to believe.
Yeah, fine by me.
Exactly. But once they step into the political sphere, they have to expect to be challenged, as anyone who steps into
they respond to any challenge with the same sort of treatment that you received in the film. That is, the minute you ask a hard question, security shows up and you get hustled to the escalator.
Yeah. But that's the beauty of journalism, because we can show that too, especially with the small camera, especially with the easy mobility that we have. It's a private event, and at the end of the day, they do, because it's a private event, have the right to kick us out. But no one can make me turn off my camera, and I certainly won't. So, and also, sometimes it even could be a blessing. When we were at the College Republican Conference, we were waiting to talk to Tom DeLay. And that's when we got ejected for the conference. That's when they discovered who Max Blumenthal was. We probably would not have been able to get the interview with Tom DeLay that we did in Christians United for Israel if we had actually already talked to him and challenged him at the College Republicans Conference. So, in a strange way, these kind of strong-arm tactics, as far as throwing people out, trying to really tell us what to say and what not to say, I think it will be their downfall at the end, because that's not really what Americans believe is appropriate. And if it is shown, as I think increasingly it will be, as more and more people understand how dangerous and irrational and reckless some of these belief systems are, especially when applied to international policy, I think once people understand that and start to expose it more, their own strong-arm tactics will be their downfall, because it proves the point.
And when you do confront them with their own words, as Max did with Pastor Hagee,
mm-hmm.
The way that they respond shows the weakness of their argument, doesn't it?
Exactly. Well, for one thing, he lied. He had a very clever answer, because he definitely is a clever man, and he brought up Deuteronomy. And in that section of the Bible, it is mentioned that that God will punish the Jewish people for their failings. But his quote from the book was not a quote lifted from Deuteronomy.
And he said it was. And yes, that's not a verse from Deuteronomy, even a little bit.
No, it's not. It was his own words. First, he tries to pass it off as a section of the Bible. And then, in the video, in real life, of course, it ended up in the video, he flatly said he didn't say that. And he certainly did write those words. So that's why we typed them out. I mean, you can hear Max clearly, but anyone who wants to look that up can go ahead. It's part of the public record.
Yeah, you're not going to find that in the book of Deuteronomy.
No, you're not. But you will find it in Pastor Hagee's book, Jerusalem Countdown.
I need to get my hands on that book. And frankly, not just me. A lot of people need to get their hands on that book and see what the other side's thinking. A lot of people, I hope thousands, millions of people have seen your video, and that it inspires them, Thomas, to study more and find out more about these people. How can you say this? You know, it's like some sort of really twisted case of they walk among us.
It is, and once again, I think the leaders are cynics. I'm not sure whether they really believe what they believe, or they just believe what they believe because of the power and influence it can bring them. It's a large question, and I'm not sure there's really a way to find that answer. But once again, everyone in America has the right to their beliefs.
Sure.
I really don't care if they have these beliefs within their own towns and congregations. But if you come to Washington, D.C., and you try to legislate based on these beliefs that are inherently anti-democratic, they have to expect to be challenged.
And it's those kind of beliefs, at least from my standpoint, politically, economically, globally, whatever, when you start legislating those things, suddenly you create a likelihood that it'll be my kid over in some meat grinder in the sand 5 or 10 years from now. And I darn sure have a right to object to those beliefs in that light.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, well, we see that with the College Republicans video. You know, the Iraq War was, we were manipulated into it. And a lot of patriotic and a lot of very good and moral Americans agreed with the war simply because they didn't have the background information necessary to see through the smoke and mirrors. But now we do. And now we understand, and I think it's very broadly understood in America now, that the Iraq War was very erroneous and borders on criminal. And while there is a lot to be said and a very vigorous debate to be had about how we extract ourselves from that situation while also doing the best we can for the Iraqi people, which I think we have somewhat of a very big obligation to parrot the things that have been completely debunked by experts around the world is completely inappropriate. Especially considering that these are the same people who are parodying this are not willing to step up to the plate and go there themselves.
No. That's these are wars for other people's kids to fight and die in. Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this: if it's not a state secret, Thomas, where are you planning? Where are you and Max planning on being thrown out of next?
Actually, we are not sure. These videos have received more attention than either one of us anticipated. We knew they would be popular within the progressive blog community, but we've been featured on a number of news shows now. Max was interviewed on CNN, a segment was played on Bill Moyer's Journal, and that's great news. The downside to all that is that I don't think we'd get anywhere at a any kind of right-wing event. I think we would get ejected immediately.
At this point, you got to show up with a rubber mask on.
Exactly. So Max and I are planning on doing a lot of work together in the future. It was a great working relationship. He's a fantastic journalist, and I encourage everyone who may be listening to go to maxblumenthal.com, read his blog, see the other work he's done. And he's especially been very effective at reporting on the religious right. And for him, the Kufi piece was an extension of that.
Well, if you talk to Max anytime soon, and if this conversation hasn't been too much like dental work without anesthesia for you, tell him I'd love to have a conversation with him some evening, because long form conversation and really trying to get in depth on these issues is part and parcel the whole and sum of the being of the reason that the horn exists, so that you know we don't have to say, well, that's great, wonderful piece of information. We'll be back after these commercials for a Swedish mattress.
Yeah.
So you know that is what we are about. And Wednesdays we do prayer meeting, Thomas.
Okay.
So you know, some Wednesday I'd love to have Max join us, and we'll talk a little bit more about the religious right, because you know, as I was leading into the conversation here, I mentioned that there are aspects of watching your video that's like one of those jaw-dropping National Geographic the documentaries that you saw when you were 9, where you went, no, people really aren't like that on planet Earth, but they are.
No, they definitely are, and there's a lot more of them than we would like to think. And luckily, I can be looking through the viewfinder and monitoring audio levels and keeping myself preoccupied. But poor Max has to keep a straight face.
Yeah, and you know, just every now and then stick his, you know, the heel of his hand under his chin, push it back up, because you know otherwise it's just hanging open. Yeah, but because the from College Republicans to fundamentalist eschatologists, there's a lot of bizarreness on the right wing side of the American political and religious spectrum, and I just. I thank you both for having the nerve and the guts to go in, to go into the belly of the beast and see it for what it was and show it to us.
Well, I mean, we had a great time doing it, and I was very happy to talk to you.
It's a pleasure, and I hope we'll talk again, Thomas. And again, just you know, keep doing the great work, and I hope we can have another conversation soon about some other fabulous piece of video. For that matter, I'd like to get a message from you saying, hey, we decided to do a long form version of the Kufi thing. I'd love to see what hit the cutting room floor.
Yeah, we were thinking of doing a kind of director's cut at some point. So I will keep you informed, and I will tell Max to get in contact with you.
All right, thanks so much, Thomas.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Take care, and congratulations again. Wonderful work.
Thanks a lot.
Bye now.
Take care.
Thomas Shoemaker, videographer of the Christians United for Israel video that you can see. You can find it on YouTube. You can go to Huffington Post and see it. on the one hand, there's a sort of jaw-dropping quality to it, but on the other, this is significant journalism that has that you need to see. We all need to see. This, because, you know, Thomas is right. It was a PR event. And no, we're not supposed to ask about the end times. You know why you're not supposed to ask about the end times at the Kufi convention? Because if you ask about the end times at the Kufi convention, then the drumbeat, the very big drum that they were beating for war with Iran, in which thousands, you know, if past is prologue, then Iraq is the prologue, and in Iraq we have something on the order of 750,000 civilian non-combatants who have been killed now as a direct and proximate result of the invasion that George Bush launched of Iraq. That is blood on America's hands, blood on America's soul, blood on America's collective consciousness, blood on America's future. And guess what? It'll be even worse in Iran. It will be even worse in Iran. Let's go to the phones and talk to our good friend Luke in Knoxville. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I tell you what, it's just turning into a fun day. I tell you, you're just, like I say, you're sitting there watching today is watching the repeat of Rummy, which, like I say, after a little while, your head hurts.
Yeah, oh, Lord, doesn't it?
It's like, please make the man quit.
What's the official line? I know I didn't offer a cover up, and I know
nobody in the White House did.
And I know nobody in the White House did.
And
so.
This man sitting next to me didn't, and.
My old Aunt Mabel, she didn't.
And the grocer down the corner, he didn't do it either. No. Isn't it amazing how nobody did it, but everybody apparently didn't do about it and didn't say nothing? And it's like, oh, and by the way, this is why George is now claiming executive privilege, why he won't release any of the documents concerning it. It's like,
yeah, so. and did you see any of the follow-up stuff on this issue of what is being called the SHOT Group? In Pat Tillman's head.
Oh, the three shots right in the forehead.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I haven't heard anybody mention too much is the fact that, oh, by the way, they burned his diary.
They burned his diary. They burned his clothes. They burned everything.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things. It's sort of like, guys, look, now, you know, you might even get away with saying, okay, there's a reason there's three shots in his head at a short range. Can't imagine what, but.
Well, I was over at opednews.com, and I read a commentary by a gentleman by the name of Bill Perry, who was a Vietnam veteran, Luke. And he said, you know, I've got experience with SHOT groups. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to his involvement in the Tet Offensive. And he says very clearly, he references the doctors examining Pat Tillman stated there was an extremely close SHOT group. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say there was nothing close to a SHOT group on any of these men. That he had killed, and that this is not a SHOT group, that it's not the same thing, because he said, you know, when you shoot a human being in the midst of warfare, if there's three shots in the body, the first shot makes the body contort one way, the second shot sends it another, you know, it's physical dynamics, and he points out that these are three shots in his head, like you would get on a target.
Mm-hmm.
And he said what this was, I'm looking for the phrase here.
Cluster?
He said a shot group on Pat Tillman's forehead indicates one shot killed him, and then he was double-checked and then triple-checked at point-blank range to make sure he was dead.
And it's like,
and that's the only way you can get that three-shot shot group.
Move.
Yeah, well, I mean, go look at the Zapruder film, Luke.
Yeah.
There was no shot group on President Kennedy.
No, because first shot jerked his head back.
Yeah.
You know, when he got hit. And, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. It's just physics. Unless all three shots hit him at the exact same second, his head was moving after the first shot.
And are we to understand that he was in this battle scenario without his helmet on?
Isn't it amazing? You know, it's one of those things. It's like you got to wonder. You know, it's the whole thing. You know, one thing here, there, you might explain. But when you keep dumping them one on the other, you know what I mean? The shot group. Then you have the fact his journal and his clothes are burned. Then you have the fact that, you know, the medical examiner's told not to look at things.
And add to that also the fact that he was already scheduled for a sit down with Noam Chomsky.
Yeah, well, I mean that's what makes the journal thing really stick out. Because you got to wonder what he'd been writing in his journal that he was going to talk to Noam about.
This is disturbing.
I know.
And I know that boy, there's that word again. I guess that's the word of the night, isn't it? But Luke, we see things like this and everything, and I don't know if it's deliberate or if it's just been some sort of an assault on our collective ability to cogitate or use our intellect, but I'll be doggone if it doesn't seem like every time the Bush administration is involved in something, it has layers upon layers of deceit and deception and lies and murder and mayhem. Whether it's, you know, whether it's 9/11 and the ongoing debate about how or why 9/11 happened, was allowed to happen, let happen, caused to happen, whatever, the open question as to how a government agency like FEMA can allow the disaster that was Katrina to take place
with all the warning they had.
Yeah, with all the warning they had, you know, the damn storm was moving at 15 miles an hour,
well,
or some such.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, when I remember that when it went to either through Cuba or went right by Cuba. You know, the guys at National Weather, they already had it plotted.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't know exactly where, but I mean, they had it within like a 200-mile radius.
But every time there's some sort of evil that comes out of the Bush administration, it becomes possible to look up and realize that there was some possibility one way or another that this was a deliberate act.
I know.
You know, maybe Rumsfeld was telling the truth technically. You know, they're all very good at getting up under and testifying under oath and telling the technical truth and yet evading the actual truth.
Well, it's that thing, was it Rumsfeld or Gonzalez that they showed the fact that, that essentially when certain things were told, they were told, don't tell me. If I don't know, I can't say I knew it. You know what I mean? It's sort of like willful ignorance.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, it's fine when you tell people not to tell you, then something happens, and you say, I didn't know about it. It's like, yeah, but you asked not to know about it. You know, it wasn't the fact you didn't know. It's the fact you asked not to know.
Yeah, there's sins of omission and sins of commission.
Mm-hmm.
And there are sins of willful ignorance, if you will, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you something else is going to be hitting. I'm sitting here right now. I've got CNN on mute watching it. Apparently, they have another bridge that's collapsed, this one in Minneapolis.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's one of those things. You saw the one we had just a couple of days ago out in California where the thing collapsed. It's like I say, the stories on infrastructure, you know, I remember this 4 or 5 years ago, people were talking about it. You know, how all our bridges and stuff were, you know, because I know they went through a whole thing of people rechecking the bridges and all this stuff. And now they're still keep coming down. This is getting... not suspicious, but this is getting monotonous in a way, I guess you want to call it. It's more like, guys, you know.
Well, it may be monotonous, but I have a feeling, Luke, that it's going to get a lot more monotonous because we're going to see more and more of it.
Oh, it is.
Because we've ignored everything that America is and is supposed to be.
It's more like, guys, you know, when they built it 100 years ago, that's nice, but it ain't going to last for 200-300 years. You know what I mean? I don't care if things solid metal. The word rust comes into play. You know, and all this stuff.
Right.
And you know, it's just amazing to see the way that you know, certain things that have to be done. You know, those things that our government's supposed to be good for, which Republicans, Piglicans always tell us, no, the government's not good for anything. It's like, yes, it is. You know, that's why your mail gets delivered. You know, that's why, you know, your drinking water shows up occasionally. You know, and you're not drinking it and throwing it up in the same motion.
Yeah, well, there's...
There's government agencies that watch this stuff.
We all sit and we sympathize and we look at the situation in Iraq and we go, you know, Jesus, these people can't have clean drinking water. We can't keep the lights on over there, and yet somehow this is going to be, we're going to create a bastion of democracy. You know, I don't think so. What a lot of people don't realize is that Iraq is a model for Republican America.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you've ever heard Tom Hartman talk, you know, he says this was the Republicans' idea that they were going to show the Marshall Plan was useless. That it was a mistake. That, you know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, they took all the rules off over in Iraq, because they didn't want unions, they didn't want anything. They wanted to show that big business could come in and run a country. You know, because I've heard Tom talk about it. He said, you know, said Republicans hated the fact that, you know, Truman put the Marshall Act in effect when he couldn't get them to do health care in the United States. He let them do it, you know, in Germany and Italy and all that when they were doing the reconstruction and showed that, by golly, you know what, it does work. It's not perfect, but it does work. And, you know, and said that's the one thing about Iraq was the neocons were going to prove that that was just a fluke. You know, that if you let big business in, let them do anything they wanted to, they could fix the country. And we see how well that's gone.
Yeah, we've seen it time and time again. We've seen the big business Republican model. Again, we're talking about Katrina.
Yep.
They tried to do that way, and it's a recipe for disaster. That's not the nature of business in the world. Business is making a profit. Business is not doing the right thing or responding to the needs of people. It is about making a profit.
Oh, did you like the Eric Bohert thing I sent you?
Yeah.
It's like, isn't it amazing? We're going to get rid of Paula because she has already had a 550,000, but we're keeping Glenn Beck, who has 115,000 viewers.
And Paula's on CNN, and Glenn Beck is on the less-watched network in the first place.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, well, if you're going to do that, get rid of Beck and just move Paula over to Headline. If you want to bring somebody else new in for the 8 o'clock hour, that's fine. But like I say, move Paula over and let her do the Headline news.
And, of course, the thing from, there's some commentary from Howie Kurtz about that whole affair.
Oh, God.
And, you know, that man has no credibility whatsoever.
Well, like I say, you know, it's one of those things, like I say, just, you know, if anybody ever thinks that, I watch it on Sunday mornings just to see what they're talking about, you know, see what they're on his show. But it's like I say, isn't it amazing how in all the time he's been on, I've never heard him utter a big criticism of Glenn Beck. Everything Glenn Beck's ever said in the last 6 months, you haven't heard Howie say one word.
No, because, well, you know, Howie likes his payday.
This is true.
And Glenn Beck has proven that he is being kept on there not for any ratings reason or not for any legitimate journalistic reasons. He's being kept on there for ideological purposes only.
Oh, yeah. And you know, and it's one of those things, it's like, guys, if you want that, we can give you 4 or 5 names of some other moderate...
Hey, you know, I'll take a run at it.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to do that, I mean, stick Bill Press or somebody on.
Well, put on a test pattern. You can get Glenn Beck's ratings on Headline News with a test pattern Indian at the 12 o'clock position.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, like I say, you could sit there and run the Weather Channel for an hour and get that kind of numbers.
Yeah.
And the Weather Channel probably got better numbers.
Well, I mean, isn't that during Storm Center?
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like, you know, it's sort of like, you know, when you turn it on there, you just, you know, when I flip through channels, I look at it for about 2 seconds and go, nah, that's a waste of electricity. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Push on to the next button. I was telling Agnes, I looked at all three of the cities up there. She said she was telling me about that. The only thing I saw on Dear Mr. Tommy Tester was in one of the stories they said there was an empty bottle of vodka and a bottle of oxycodone. So Junior was walking on the ceiling without trying hard.
Yeah, living large.
So you know what I mean? That's what. Oh! I know what the other.
But see, the thing is, his problem doesn't go away because he you know, and it sounds like that's the setup for the typical Republican right wing mea culpa. Well, you know, the demon drugs had hold of me, and the demon booze had hold of me. I would not ordinarily wear a skirt. This guy's a crossdresser. This guy's a transvestite. Okay.
Well, I mean, dude,
why can't he be what he is?
Well, I mean, it's that. Then you turn around. Oh yeah. By the way, he decided to offer sex to the guy. I don't know if it was guys or girls that showed up to arrest him. It, you know, it didn't say, but, you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, you know, it's like the thing with Mel Gibson. I'm sorry, being drunk does not make you anti-Semitic.
No.
Being drunk does not make you a transvestite.
No, it makes you an uninhibited anti-Semite, and in this guy's case, an uninhibited cross-dresser. Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's fine. If you want to dress in a dress, go for it. You know what I mean? Big deal.
If you got the legs, go. You know.
Well, it's like we always used to kid about. We used to say, you know, well, women wear pants, suits, and suits, so why can't a man wear a dress? You know.
Yeah. I mean, if it's sauce for the goose, it's sauce for the gander.
Oh, but the thing I want to bring up, and I'm sorry I forgot about this right at the end of the time. I love this thing now with. Oh, by the way, we're going to give the Saudis all these billions of dollars of weapons.
Oh Lord.
And I'm sitting there going, how long till we see the Sunnis running around with a system in Iraq? Going,
but, you know, it may actually be better for us over there if the Sunnis get M16s because those suckers don't fire nearly as well as an AK-47. And they don't pack the wallop either.
No, but, Yeah, but you know what I mean. This is one of those things. It's like I always love it when they're always, well, not love it, excuse the term. It always amazes me. Oh, we hate the Iranians because they're giving weapons to the Shiites, and you're going, yeah, we're going to ignore all those weapons the Saudis are giving them, and the Jordanians and the Egyptians, and even some of the Israelis are giving them. So, you know, we are going to threaten them, that we're going to come over and beat the crap out of them, but we'll threaten the Iranians.
Right.
If y'all don't quit sending them weapons, we're going to come over and just drop on you all. You know, it's like, say, it'd be nice to call up Riyadh and say, you know what, you do this again.
Yep.
We're going to send you something. It's going to be ticking.
Yeah, we'll give you some munitions, all right. But no, we would never say anything that unkind to our dear friends, the Saudi Arabians.
With good old Joe, you know, it's like, you know, you got to wonder with Joe. It's like, Joe, who do you call first? You know, if there's an emergency, do you call into the office of the Senate, or do you just go ahead and call straight over to Israel?
No, you can split the difference. It's just a call to AIPAC.
I know, but you know what I mean. It's just sort of like, you know, it's like the old days, you know, when, and I believe this was true, you know. I mean, not that I believe it's true, but I remember this being true. You know, that one of the big knocks on Kennedy was they kept saying, well, is he going to take his directives from the Vatican first? Well, it's like, we know where Joe's taking his.
Yeah, no kidding. Because the Republicans were all nervous back when Kennedy was running. Yeah, he'll take his orders from the Pope.
It's top of the hour, buddy.
Yeah, it is. We'll hit the news because I blew off the news last time.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Luke. You take care. Well, it's prayer meeting. Want to come on down to the pulpit and lead a little bit of the sermon? You're more than welcome to do so. The phone number, of course, is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you want to save us a nickel and pay the freight yourself, or if you've got a long-distance calling plan, 304-658-5453, 304-658-5453. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. The main Sunni Arab political bloc quit the new Iraqi government, leaving behind the vice president and one cabinet member. White House spokesman Tony Snow says reconciliation efforts are being made and that the situation is not as grave as it might look. A series of car bomb blasts rocked Baghdad, killing at least 70 people. 100 were wounded. Three large bombs exploded in several crowded districts. The largest blast came from a truck bomb that exploded near a filling station west of the city. Also near Baghdad, a roadside bomb struck a military convoy, killing 3 and wounding 6 more. A military operation is underway in Afghanistan to rescue 21 South Korean hostages held captive by the Taliban. Earlier today, Afghan forces dropped leaflets over the region warning residents of the upcoming military action. Former U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says the family of Army Ranger Pat Tillman deserved the truth regarding his death by friendly fire in Afghanistan. Rumsfeld testified today about the Pentagon's role in the incident, denying any cover-up by the military. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says Middle East leaders should jump on a chance to revive dormant peace talks. Rice is attempting to lay the groundwork for international peace talks that have been stalled for 6 years. President Bush could decide to claim executive privilege to prevent two more White House aides from testifying before Congress concerning the firings of several federal prosecutors. Tomorrow is the deadline for testimony from White House top political advisor Karl Rove. White House political aide J. Scott Jennings also was subpoenaed. In North Carolina, the state's former House Speaker was fined $1 million for admitting he paid a former lawmaker to vote for his re-election as Speaker. Jim Black began serving a 5-year prison sentence last week in the same case. The Associated Press says a state study reveals Florida's optical scan voting machines remain vulnerable to tampering, despite attempts to repair them. California's voting machines are also vulnerable to hackers. Researchers at the University of California managed to hack into every certified voting machine they targeted. That's according to California's Secretary of State, who initiated the test. The J. Paul Getty Museum will return 40 art objects worth several $1 million to Italian authorities who claim the artifacts were stolen. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
Deep brain stimulation with the use of electrodes is being credited with the partial recovery of brain-injured patients. Results from a recently published research study in the science magazine Nature indicate possible long-term benefits from electrical pulses sent deep into affected areas of the brain. Austrian government scientists say there is no connection between the full moon and the incidence of industrial accidents. A 4-year study revealed accidents actually declined during high lunar activity. NASA is working to fix a shuttle leak, a cabin leak, a leak in the cabin's shuttle's cabin, before the scheduled launch next week, excuse me. A 12-year study by Japanese health researchers says women may halve their risk of colon cancer by drinking at least 3 cups of coffee daily. And just a day after GM and Ford reported quarterly profits, they announced today significant declines in U.S. car and truck sales. GM was down 23% from last year, Ford down 19%. Toyota expected to announce a small decline, but could edge out GM in total sales. Honda reported slower sales, but enough to put them into fourth place in the U.S. market ahead of Chrysler. Light sweet crude is trading at $76.53 a barrel on the New York Mercantile. And experts say it was last-minute bargain hunting that sent the market up. The Dow closed up 151 points. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Eight minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. You're you. And we are one together. Cuckoo, ka-choo. Let's just do this real quick. We were following the trial of Corporal Thomas, who kidnapped a man and participated in his murder and then used a drop weapon to try to deflect liability from himself as part of a Marine snatch team. That's what they called them, according to the court-martial. The snatch team in Iraq, they murdered a grandfather, a 52-year-old man, in a place called Hamandiya. What it was, they were gonna kidnap a suspected insurgent from his house, and when they couldn't find him, they just kidnapped a different guy from a different house in the neighborhood, and they dragged him into a hole and blew his brains out. Well, another Marine who was part of that trial was found guilty, just like Corporal Thomas was. Remember, Corporal Thomas was found guilty of conspiracy to commit murder. But he wasn't sentenced to anything except a bad conduct discharge and a reduction in rank. Corporal Marshall, the verdict is in on Corporal Marshall Magan Calda of Manteca, California. He was convicted of conspiracy to murder the Iraqi man. He was acquitted of premeditated murder, however, and kidnapping. He was also convicted of larceny and housebreaking, and cleared of making a false official statement. This is prayer meeting, so it's appropriate that we report on this, because the man's defense was that he's a religious man who wanted no part in the conspiracy and told his squad mates he wouldn't shoot anybody. He was, however, willing to commit kidnapping as a Christian. He was willing to commit a Christian kidnapping and willing to commit larceny. So, you know, there you go. He has not yet been sentenced. There is a jury still deliberating on another member of the murder team. Let's go to the phones. Bob's calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Is this every other Wednesday night?
It is every other Wednesday night.
May I come to the altar?
Oh, yeah, knock yourself out. Come on down and feel the...
Brother Bob.
Brother Bob in the Cathedral of Common Sense.
Thank you, because...
One of these days I'm going to promote myself to Archbishop or Cardinal,
okay,
or something.
Archbishop Bob, thank you. I'm just that other Bob, okay? That one that doesn't have any common sense.
Nah, quit that.
No, I don't, because I remember things, and I see them every night in my dreams. I see them even though they give me pills to try to make me forget, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to tell my dear sister Agnes there that, you know, I want to confess, I hate violence. I hate it more than all you liberals on this planet. I hate it more. I hate it with a vengeance. I hate violence because I mean it up close and personal. I hate death and destruction. I hate seeing my brethren, my sisters, and my brothers turned into red mist, like Mike Malloy says, okay?
Yep.
I hate it because I've tasted it, I've seen it, and I hate it. The only thing that I wish for this planet and for the people thereof, all the peoples of this earth, is peace and love and caring. I get that from dear sister Agnes. Love, Harry, she gives me that. Bob, you give me strength because your voice is strong and it's true. You don't lie to me. You've never lied to me. And I've never lied.
And I'm not gonna.
No. Like Ken. Ken taught you that. Don't lie, boy. Don't lie to me, boy. Don't
yep.
ever lie to me, right?
Yep.
And he said that. More times you could want to even look back at him and spit his eyes and say, I wasn't lying, Papa. Right?
Yeah.
He was that type of man. And I thank you. I I don't hate my Vietnamese brothers or my Vietnamese sisters. No, all these years ago that I killed them, I respect them. I love them for their strength, for fighting for what they believed in their country, not our country, their country. And they fought for it, and they won it back from us, the U.S. of A. They took their country back, and so will the Iraqis. They'll take their country back from you. I don't give a hoot. Heck, if your name is George Bush or Dick Cheney, they'll take their country away from you because it belongs to them. It does not belong to you or you Republicans who think you can be this, these dominionists.
Yeah, and Reconstructionists. Yeah, the
dominion over the earth, because God gave them the grant to take everything from everybody else, including my red brothers. My red brothers that fought side by side with me in Vietnam, my Indian brothers, okay, and my Filipino brothers, and my brothers from that country. We call them the KOC, what was that, South Korean Marines. They fought side by side with us, you know, and mm-hmm. they were pretty nasty too. They were pretty tough boys, and we respected them, and I respected the Vietnamese that slaughtered them as well as they slaughtered us, as well as we slaughtered them, and all we were doing was killing each other, and we are one. North Koreans or South Koreans, the Vietnamese, the Iraqis, the Iranians, we are all one, Bob. It doesn't matter. We are humanity, and we are brothers. Now let's stop killing each other for some idiosyncrasy. This idea that we have a right to take it away from them. We don't have any rights. We don't have any rights at all, other than that I have the right to say to you the truth. And we're all brothers. The Vietnamese, the Japanese, the Germans, the Russians, the Chinese, the Filipinos, we're all human beings, and we have the right to love each other, or we have that thing, that stupid thing called nationalism, the same thing that the Nazis did to their family, their children, their wives, their brothers. They sent them off with a nationalistic idea that they were superior.
Well, isn't exactly that superiority is the first step, isn't it? Determining that the other side is somehow less than human or subhuman or not as human as you, and in the conversation I had with Thomas Shoemaker there a few minutes ago, that's exactly what we're dealing with again. As you know, you watch this video and you see this sweet talking little fundamentalist couple say, you know, that's why we have to fight the Muslims because Satan is behind them.
No.
Holy cow, you know.
Satan is behind the fundamentalists.
Sure,
I don't care if they're
sure.
Muslim or Jewish or Christian. Satan is behind the fundamentalists. I don't care what religion, race, creed, or country they come from. If they are fundamentalists, they are of that evil thing that you just spoke of. Because it's sickening, Bob, and I'm sick to death of going on chat rooms and listening to people talk about how superior their ideas are. I don't have a superior idea. I only have one idea, Bob. This is it, okay? You and I are no better than each other. We look at each other man to man, eyeball to eyeball, and we say to each other, I will respect you as long as
No, Bob, but you know, we've talked about this, and it's not about me thinking my ideas are superior or us thinking our ideas are superior. But the other side, bear in mind, engages in all of the stuff that you're talking about. Okay,
right.
I have heard, for instance, a fundamentalist say that as far as you know, serving in office, in political office in this country is concerned, that an illiterate Christian would be better to have in office than a genius atheist.
Oh, I'd rather have an ape.
No, yeah. But I understand what you're talking about.
They're talking us down, Bob. They talk about liberals as if we're something deviant or something less than human. And that is the humanization of your enemy. And they've done it continuously for the last, what?
Right, and they do it to everybody, whether it's somebody they want to bomb or whether it's their political opponent here in the United States.
Absolutely, and that's the problem. You cannot... I don't dehumanize Republicans. I just disrespect them because
and call their ideas out for what they are, Bob.
Lies,
idiocy.
Oh, Brenda just came up with something. I got to tell you guys about this. Malloy came up with this T-shirt that says enough.
Enough. Yeah.
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 And then Brenda, she goes. She heard it somewhere on one of these other talk shows. Okay, it says enough. BLT. Bush liars and thieves. Enough, Bush liars and thieves. You put the BLT and then you put the little U, the Bush and Bush, you know.
Yeah.
And then you put the liars and you put the thieves in little letters and people get.
Well, you know, we've got this...
I like BLTs, don't you?
Oh, BLT is one of my... Especially in the summer when the tomatoes
are
ripe.
Enough BLT.
Yeah. Okay? But you know, you talk about, you know, liars and thieves. The breaking story is the collapse, Bob, of this interstate highway bridge, the I-35 westbound bridge crossing the Mississippi River in Minneapolis, okay? We know that two people are dead. There was a school bus involved, apparently, according to some of the reportage. Liars and thieves. This is a direct outgrowth, Bob, of the liars and the thieves. This is the negligent. This is what happens to this country as a result of neglecting what this country needs, what this country's about, what should be going, what we should be paying attention to in this country, because we feel this profound need to blow the living snot out of people who live in dirt huts.
I only wish that I could put the bunk top back there and left them for them, what they call them, the rich runners, you know. We will run the riches in our Greenland, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We will run the riches. Yeah, and I thought about that. You know, I wasn't there. Maybe I was. If you want to believe in reincarnation, to fight them Rebs, and you know what the Rebs are fighting for? The same thing we are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They, no, if you think about it, they were fighting for...
Well, it's that great story about, I think it was down at the Battle of Kennesaw Mountain, when the trenches were close enough for them to yell back and forth, and they traded coffee for tobacco and things like that. And one of the northern soldiers said, "Johnny Reb, why are you fighting?" And Johnny Reb hollered back from his trench, "Blue Belly, why are you here?"
Because it had to be done. At the time.
Yeah. Right.
It really had to, because they had to hold this nation together. It was falling apart. Now, Bob. Now, us Northerners, us boys. I mean, I'm not even that northern part of that. You know, that Yankee part. I'm out here in Dakota that didn't even get. It wasn't even here.
It wasn't a state. Just territory.
It didn't exist. It was kind of like the territory back then. And now we have to hold this nation together again. And how do we do it? We put the past behind us and fight like hell for the future. The future of the United States of America. And let us unite past, but his words live on, and his truths, his facts are there, that this nation is right at that point where we have to either, you know, we have to feed this tree of liberty with both the blood of the tyrants and those of us that consider ourselves
patriots.
To be what?
Patriots.
Patriots.
Yep.
Yes.
Thanks, Bob. We got to roll on. Agnes is going to make me take a break.
Well, enjoy your tea or coffee or whatever you get. No, I don't think you drink coffee. But maybe.
No, I'm a totally decaffeinated guy, Bob.
Well, they have some orange juice from Florida.
All right, Bob. You take care.
Love you much.
Bye now.
To the world, I am not a man of war.
Right.
All right. I am.
We got to go.
Okay.
Later.
Bye, man.
Bye. 26 past the hour. It is break time. Sometimes we take breaks because, well, it's break time. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. Oh, by the way, the contact email information that we gave out during our debut is not in effect. So, to request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at BillyShearsMusic.com. That's Erica with a K, and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to NightSounds@BillyShearsMusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Harley workers in Kansas City have approved a contract that will see raises and no monthly payments by workers toward their health care. Jesse Russell reports.
More than 800 workers at a Kansas City Harley-Davidson plant will be seeing a wage increase of at least 3.5% annually for the next 5 years. Represented by the International Association of Machinists and the United Steelworkers, workers will also not have to pay a monthly health care premium. The workers were able to avoid paying a premium by allowing the company to raise the policy's deductible. Last February, a 3-week strike at a Harley-Davidson plant in York, Pennsylvania, resulted in a contract that included a 2-tier wage system. Such a system was not implemented in Kansas City.
Off-the-road tires from China will get more scrutiny from the U.S. Department of Commerce, thanks to a United Steelworkers petition. USW President Leo Girard says tire dumping into the North American market is costing U.S. jobs. The Commerce Department will investigate the importation of Chinese tires used in agriculture, construction, and other industries. Continental Tire has been ordered by a federal judge to pay health premiums for 2,000 retired steelworkers. The suit by the United Steelworkers forced the company to honor its contracts to the retirees after the company arbitrarily cut the health insurance premiums. Smithfield Foods workers and the United Food and Commercial Workers Union at the hog processing plant in Tar Heel, North Carolina, have agreed to an NAACP call to meet with the company in a new effort to resolve long-standing issues. Smithfield has a long history of anti-union illegal actions, including beating, intimidating, threatening, illegally firing, and using racial epithets against workers. If Smithfield is willing to do it, the workers will try to work out a fair process that safeguards workers' rights in a potential new union election at the company. The National Day Laborer Organizing Network is meeting in the nation's capital as it renews calls for justice for day laborers. More than 200 day laborers and their advocates are meeting through August 5th. Day laborers will be talking about how to organize to change the immigration debate and to have more power on issues affecting their lives. Iraq's oil ministry has been ordered not to deal with unions, so Basra oil workers may walk off their jobs. Saddam Hussein had banned union organizing, and the U.S. occupation also bans it. But the workers have stayed united and used strikes since 2003 to make their voices heard in the oil industry.
Here is today's economic report. The International Monetary Fund is projecting a soft landing for the U.S. economy. The fund expects bumps and bruises along the way as the housing market continues to cool and the subprime mortgage market continues to collapse. Members of the IMF, although not endorsed by the whole board, suggested that the U.S. dollar should also be considered overvalued and depreciation would be helpful to whittling down the current record-setting account deficit.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Oh, mercy, play it, Roger. Gentlemen, I give you the great Roger Hurricane Wilson. Man, oh, dude can jam. 26 minutes before the hour, and we'll go straight to the phones. Alan is calling from parts unknown. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I like the way Tom Hartman says, I'm doing great, but I'll get better.
Yeah, I've got a buddy who says, yeah, I'm doing great. If I was doing better, I'd be in Florida, but, you know. I've been to Florida, so I'm not sure that's so great.
Hey, since this is prayer meeting night,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're supposed to be submissive. We're supposed to be submissive to God.
Right.
We're supposed to be submissive to corporations. We're supposed to be submissive to the politicians the corporations put into office. Doesn't this sound like something out of the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah.
I think if they made a Twilight Zone movie about this, I think it would just be too unbelievable to be interesting.
You can't fictionalize what's going on now, Alan. You just can't, because it's too weird. I mean, if somebody did a script of the Iraq War or the response to Katrina, or frankly the murder of Pat Tillman, and walked into a studio head's office in Hollywood and said, you know, here's my treatment, my script, they go, this is unbelievable. Nobody'd ever watched this. This is too crazy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I remember back years ago when I used to pay attention to these Christians, and they talk about one of the issues they like to talk about a lot is about cults. Don't let your children be involved in a cult.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Well, it looks like to me that this fundamentalist Christianity is nothing but a big, dangerous cult.
It is. It is.
Like one of the most dangerous cults in history.
It is.
Of the nuclear weapons.
Yeah, when you look at somebody,
the end of the world.
Yeah, somebody like Pastor Hagee, arguing for the beginning of World War III. These people aren't following Jesus Christ. They're following Pastor Hagee.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Oh, I'm wondering if we got some sort of problems going on here. You there? Are you there, Alan?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, okay. I think your phone's acting up again. You hear me okay now?
Yeah, I hear you just fine.
Okay. Well, we're talking about the cults and the end of the world. That's pretty scary stuff, isn't it?
It is indeed. And it's made more scary, Alan, by virtue of the fact that these people want to help it happen.
Yeah, so Jesus will come.
But the question I keep asking, and I can't get a satisfactory answer, Alan, is how are they going to know which one's Jesus?
Yeah.
They don't have, there's no photographs. No fingerprints, no DNA evidence, no dental records. So, you know, as far as the fundamentalists are concerned, whoever comes along and has the right special effects gets to be Jesus. And they'll do whatever he tells them.
Yeah.
That ought to scare the daylights out of you.
Yeah. I think the best way to fight these people, or the only way to fight these people, is try to get it through your heads that all this is just mythology, it's symbolism.
Yeah.
Jesus died, went to heaven. Where's heaven? That's in your heart.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not 92 light years to the left of Earth.
Yeah.
Let me shift gears
on. And last night I was talking to these guys on the CB, trying to tell me about the Garden of Eden and the fall in the Garden of Eden. I was trying to tell them it's just symbolism of what goes on in your life. You're in a state of consciousness. Everything's peaceful or whatever. You need to just sometimes you need to eat that.
Sometimes you've got to. Yeah, sometimes you've got to have that knowledge.
Change in your life. It's all symbolism, and the woman represents your soul.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
I think I got that right.
Yeah, you know, you ask these fundies. You know, the part that blows them away. The part that blows away the fundies is when you ask them, by the way, where did the first Eden myth come from? Well, that's in the Bible. No, it's not. That came from pre-existing cultures. Everything that's in Genesis is a lift from somebody else. And that really gets under their skin. Have I lost you again, Alan? Oh, I fear I have.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. We got phone problems. We'll try to get them straightened out, Alan.
Okay. Well, I guess I better let you go, though. I'll just keep listening, but it's a great show.
Well, thank you very kindly, and you drive careful, all right?
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye now. Sometime, I don't reckon there's anybody that has a better viewpoint on taking a hard look at the infrastructure in America than Alan and folks like him who go over the roads every day and see what's being done and not done, and seeing the neglect that has taken place in America. Because, you know, if somebody can't make a profit on it, it's not worth dealing with. Okay, let's try again. Ed. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Played a little golf. Relaxed today.
No, did you hit him good?
No.
Well, I know.
Not
I know.
Playing enough.
Yeah, but you know, if you brought it in at par, you wouldn't be happy.
Yeah. Well, I've done better, so you're not ever happy until you get back there.
Right.
But I was going to tell you something real quick. There's been a bridge collapse over the Mississippi River in Minneapolis.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that on the internet, and wow.
I didn't know if you knew it or not, but I think until I get on the air of how viciously mad I get to hear a damn liar like Donald Rumsfeld testifying, and to think of all the people that surround him has got to be in the same boat, and in addition to that, they can get immunity or get executive privilege to not testify, like Karl Rove and them is doing. Bob, there's two different Americans for people like that.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to express my opinion, get your opinion. But Rumsfeld, to watch him today, if he's anything worse than a liar, because a liar will do anything. They've already done it, or they wouldn't be lying. And I just wanted to express my opinion on.
No, you're more than welcome to, Ed. Rumsfeld was sickening, but that's nothing we didn't expect. We expected him to get up there and lie. He couldn't tell the truth if he was paid to.
Yeah, well, the hurting part is families like Tillman. They suffer the consequences of the George Bushes, of the Karl Roves, of the Donald Rumsfeld and Halliburton and all the rest of them. They reap the repercussions of what those people do, and that is so sickening. The war is bad enough, but to do people like that, it's almost like that we've got a different country representing us.
It is. Well, we have people in power who certainly have a different vision of this country. I'm glad you brought up a separate topic. I'm glad you brought up the bridge story. I'm watching live video right now coming from ABC5 Eyewitness News there in the Twin Cities. This is horrifying. This is just horrifying.
Well, and here's another damn joke about it. They get on there and... What does the police know about a bridge? The police don't know the cause yet. I'll tell you what the cause is engineering, construction, the way it was built.
Yeah, probably built by the lowest bidder on, yeah.
Yeah, and instead of getting some yokel policeman on there to evaluate the situation, why don't they get an engineer? And I'm telling you that, common sense must have went down a river somewhere, because it's just pitiful that they get some cop, don't know much more than the speed limit, let alone how to figure stuff like that, and get them to evaluate that. And of course, I don't like cops to start with, but, that's just another reason. And what makes them so special? Why don't they send for me and you?
Yeah, we could say about as much about the cause of the collapse.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, is they're trying to figure out what happened. Well, you know yourself, until they get some engineers
in
there.
Well, this is horrifying, Ed. I'm looking. I mean, there's stuff burning. I just saw an explosion. Some of this is older video, but... my God, but we should get used to this, Ed. This is going to happen on a fairly routine basis now, because we've ignored the things that matter in this country, because because that jug-eared, pig-eyed little lout at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue told us all a line of bull about weapons of mass destruction, and the smoking gun will be a mushroom cloud.
Yeah, Well, between all that, China, have you heard the latest that they're sending chickens from over here to China to be butchered to be sent back?
The economics of the United States is absolutely upside down. Now, Ed, you know I'm a smoker. I saw in a store today a bag of roll your own tobacco.
Uh-huh.
It came from India. Tobacco. You know, Virginia Burley. We grow it here, we ship it there, they process it and send it back, and that's cheaper than just doing it here?
Yeah. Well, that's what they're saying about the chickens, too, and the beef. It's coming to the beef, too. And as long as the government there subsidizes the whatever industry, however they classify it there, then what are we going to do? As long as we got the Bushes and the people that support that, and they are talking about some kind of bill that would prohibit this kind of thing.
Looks to me like we got a lot more dangerous stuff going on than any terrorist, Ed.
You ain't kidding. But anyway, I just wanted to express my opinion, get it off my chest, and I hope the people, I really wish the people would wake up and realize what China is coming to and what we're going to have to face with them militarily probably before it's over. And we keep buying the stinking clothes and the Walmart stuff from them, and you say something, and, well, I'll go where the prices are the best.
Yeah.
And as long as we got that kind of mental approach to things, Bob, this country, the middle class is sold out. You might as well.
Yeah, no, it has been sold out, yeah. And well, you know, I remember my parents, my grandparents looking at me and saying, "Listen, you need to understand something. The Republicans want a two-class society in this country, the very rich and the very poor, and there's going to be a whole lot more very poor than there are going to be very rich. And you know what? They're getting their way. We are well on our way to it, Ed."
Yeah. Well, you just look at some of these other countries where the mainstream of traffic and so forth is, of the big nice buildings and the Coca-Cola factories and everything. But go behind those and look at the cardboard huts. And I'm telling you, people like George Bush and people in that category would have us right there if they could wave the wand and do it that quickly.
Yeah, I know.
But listen, I'll get off of here. I appreciate your time. Appreciate your program.
Oh, it's a pleasure to hear from you, Ed. You take care now, all right?
All right, sure will. I'll just keep on listening.
All right, sounds good. Bye now.
Bye.
And onward to our good friend Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I'm looking at CNN at that bridge. My God, it looks like Godzilla came out of the Mississippi and just stepped on that thing.
It's,
my God.
Yeah, and the video that I just saw a couple of minutes ago, I know we're talking about video on the radio, and it's kind of counterintuitive. But, you know, stuff exploding, tanker trucks. They say there was a school bus. And but again, Jim, am I wrong? This is something we've got to get used to in America.
Well,
this wasn't terrorism.
No, this is decaying infrastructure and money that's being thrown away overseas because it's been, you know, appropriated to eliminate the death watch beetle that exists in any man-made structure. You know that. I know that.
Sure. Do you think they would have the nerve to dare even suggest that this was terrorism?
I'm sure they would probably use anything they possibly could to further their own ends. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. You know, I hate to come to the point, but yeah, probably would. I don't know. And I have one other point about Pastor Hagee, if I might share it with
you.
Yeah,
do please.
I've watched him on TV, and you know, he's got this big backdrop that sort of looks like some of the old illustrations the Millerites used to use, you know, with the numbers and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if these people want to really go according to the dictates of the Holy Scriptures, it says right in there that of that hour no man knoweth, not even the angels in heaven.
Behold, I come as a thief in the night.
Yeah, and if God has kept that secret, nothing that they can do is going to precipitate it or move his hand.
Well, but that shows the hubris of these people, doesn't it, Jim? I mean, they literally think that they can, I mean, it's like they're going to put a tow rope around Jesus and drag him out of the clouds. That's what they think they're going to do.
I just don't think that's going to happen. And
I don't either.
I think they're terribly misled in even going there. And like I say, you know, if in fact it says right there in the Holy Scriptures, of that hour, no man, not even the Father or the angels in heaven know it, they sure as hell don't.
No, they don't.
And that's about the only thing I can add to you. By the way, somebody by your name had it going on in the paper the other
day. Oh, that was me.
Was it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, I can assure you, your arrow found it smart.
Good, good, good. Were they having a hissy on the little right-wing love fest?
Indeed. Indeed.
Well, that's good to know.
You certainly had a few people's blood pressure up a few points, so I guess.
See, they need me there. They need me. But
well, I mean, the drug company does, because I'm sure that Allisville is just going whatever blood pressure medication they're on. They probably had to take two or three. They had a couple people all upset about that. I mean, it was just really bizarre, some of the responses.
Well, you know, I told the truth. You know, the cold liquids technology was. It was pioneered by the Nazis. It just was.
Yeah, someone sent in an email said some of the other things were, too. Well, you know, let's face it, their scientists were quite good, and we used them for our own purposes later on.
Precisely. Precisely.
Hey, what can I say?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I will let somebody else have some time, and you have a good evening.
All right, you take care, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Bye now. Yeah, I wrote a letter to the editor in the Beckley paper just because every now and then it's fun to put a stick in the right wing spokes. Cold to liquids just drives me nuts. It uses up as much energy as it creates, and it's just stupid. I'm kind of speechless right now just looking at the video of this bridge collapse, and I hate the way that my mind in the last 6.5 years has been taught to operate, because I know that there are thousands, if not there are millions of Americans sitting around having been terrified for the last 6 years, sitting around, I bet you Al-Qaeda did that. Nah, you dummy. Al-Qaeda didn't do that. Corporate America did that. At some point in time, we're going to have to take a hard, hard look at the America that we have allowed to be created. And I know I'm becoming redundant, but you know what? Al-Qaeda's not poisoning the food supply. Corporate America is. Al-Qaeda isn't setting the world up for global famine via genetically modified food seed crops. Corporate America is. Al-Qaeda has not caused the collapse of our industrial manufacturing base. Corporate America has. At some point in time, are we going to have the nerve to just to have that little sit down with ourselves and a hard look and say, you know, who's the threat here? Who's the real terrorist? Who is it that's causing these disasters? You know, okay, one person dies, two people die, five people, 15, 20, 25, 30 of poisoned food, or you lose your beloved pet from poisoned dog food, or a bridge collapses. You know, this isn't the first time. This is going to be more and more and more and more. Lucky you are living in, you're living in the post-classic American age. That's what the archaeologists will call it a thousand years from now. They thought they were living the good life, but their world was collapsing out from under them, and they didn't even realize it. Well, you know what, if you're hanging out listening to this program, you realize it and you know it. And this isn't, you know, go get the razor blades out and quit. This is, you can watch it happen and you can say, oh well, tough, I can't do anything about it, or you can try to do whatever it is that's within your power to do. The first step is recognizing it and knowing there's a problem. Any time, any of these issues, the first step is recognizing that there's a daggum problem. And we have a horrible problem in this country. And our horrible problem isn't Al-Qaeda. Our horrible problem is rotting concrete. Our horrible problem is collapsing levees. Our horrible problem is rocket fuel in mother's milk. Our horrible problem is mercury contents in women of childbearing age that guarantee that children will be born 10, 15, 20 points disabled on the IQ scale just because of the mercury that they've ingested, the mothers. Al-Qaeda didn't do any of that. Massey Energy did it. Peabody Coal did it. Arch Coal did it. Sure. But we have a terrorism problem because somebody's scared to death that somebody's going to blow themselves up in a Walmart. Bull. It's a dog and pony show. It's a cheap, tawdry circus act. And I hate it. And I will at least call it as I see it. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
You're on quadrant there. I thought I would call in and give you something to at least, well, something like this. You look for silver linings, no matter how hard you have
to. Take it where I can get it.
We're not going to have much problem finding, once we get rid of all these creepers, we're not going to have much problem finding WPA projects to put everybody back to work.
Yeah, we got plenty of that to do. But if we don't get
which doesn't help much if you're one of the people that's sitting in a car at the bottom of the Mississippi right now.
Oh, God, I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, Oregon, Portland at least, pays real close attention to their bridges, not only because of the water, because we're in a subduction zone, you know, so we have a lot of earthquakes. But the infrastructure, the rest of the infrastructure is just gone down the tube, just like the rest of it. There's just no money.
Yeah, and this is an act of negligence, and sometimes negligence is worse than intent.
It's called negligent homicide.
Yeah, it's death because you didn't care.
Yeah, you didn't give a rip.
Yeah, and I despise him for it. Oh my God, I know what I'm going to. You know, well, the problem with this is that we haven't privatized the highways. If we privatized the highways and made them for-profit highways, then we wouldn't have this problem.
Have you seen the toll roads in New Jersey and places like that? They're even worse.
Yeah, I know.
And they're profit.
I know.
So don't. Yeah, nobody can
but
have
don't,
me
but
that
don't, you know, don't be surprised when you hear that.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. You know, the freepers, they'll try anything. But at least the kids in the school bus got out.
Yeah.
They're all okay. Well, kind of. They all survived. Some of them are injured, but they're going to live.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so
I'm glad to know that. I didn't know that. Thank you for letting me know. I appreciate it.
All cities and states are going to have to take a look at their infrastructure. And there's one piece of infrastructure we need to pay big time attention to, and nobody's doing it.
Namely?
Those blankety blank. Just think of the last swearing session Ben Birch had on this show. Levees that the Corps of Engineers supposedly fixed
have
in
still,
New Orleans.
And have still screwed up. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Susan, we got a roll. We're right up against it.
You have a nice night.
Take care, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Well, that's it. Thank you, Agnes, for your yeoman work. Thanks to everybody. Thank you to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk, over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Everything that happens on the Horn happens because of Ben. Thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who helped us get this all started. And by helping us save the American, by doing so, are helping us save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. A major bridge, the 35W, spanning the Mississippi River and a Minnesota interstate in Minneapolis, has collapsed. The multi-lane bridge fell in the middle, then broke in sections with slow-moving, bumper-to-bumper commuter traffic crossing it. There are people and vehicles in the river. Cyclists and pedestrians are among the victims that have fallen and are tangled in the water beneath the wreckage of twisted concrete and steel. Survivors are being carried up the riverbank. It is not yet known what caused the failure. The largest peacekeeping effort in world history will soon take place. Thousands of UN peacekeepers are being deployed to Darfur later this year. A military operation is underway to rescue the 21 South Korean church workers from the grip of their Taliban kidnappers. Two of the humanitarians have been murdered by the Taliban. A German engineer captured elsewhere in Afghanistan by the Taliban with another German and five Afghans earlier in July pleaded for his life on television yesterday. His German colleague was executed last week. Al-Qaeda is calling for jihad in Pakistan. They want to oust President Musharraf. Three-star retired Lieutenant General Philip Kinzinger has been censured by the Pentagon for mishandling the friendly fire death of Army Ranger Pat Tillman. Donald Rumsfeld told a panel today that he did not instruct his staff to influence news coverage of Tillman's death. Kinzinger was subpoenaed to attend, but he could not be found. A tanker truck was blown up by a suicide bomber at a gas station in Baghdad today, killed at least 50 people. A parked car bomb killed another 20. Things are changing for the better in Iraq since the troop surge began a few months ago. Fed-up civilians are turning against al-Qaeda and Muqtada al-Sadr's Mahdi army, and U.S. troop morale is high. Saudi Arabia is thinking of opening an embassy in Baghdad. The White House announced pleasure with the new embassy plan, saying they'd add legitimacy to Prime Minister al-Maliki's government. Mohammed Hanif, the Indian national practicing medicine in Australia and arrested and freed in connection to the failed London and Glasgow car bombings, has been linked to al-Qaeda, according to his Indian arrest record released to the Australian media last night. The doctor has since gone back to India with his wife and daughter. We'll have more news coming up here at the